Sunset Strip in West Hollywood, this is the 5th annual Free FM Think Tank on 97.1 KLSX Free FM.
I thought we were not supposed to say 97.1. I thought we were not supposed to say that.
Yes.
Hey, Bobby.
Thank you all for showing up. Good to see y'all. Here we are at the Key Club. Well, it's the 5th Think Tank. The Think Tank is not only being heard in L.A., it's being also heard in San Diego and Phoenix on Free FM, so it's the first time they're hearing this. But let me first introduce the players this hour, and then we will get to what we're going to do here. Starting on my left and the right of the audience here at the Key Club in Hollywood on the Sunset Strip, we have John and Jeff.
What's up? What's up, guys?
Johnny!
We have Conway and Whitman.
Yeah!
Yeah! You stud, Conway!
Hey, easy, guys.
And on my right, your left, we have Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Yeah!
Oh, stop.
Thank you.
You guys pay some flax to be in the audience?
Well, you know.
Now, the idea of this, of course, now the folks... the folks in Phoenix and San Diego may not know Conway and Whitman, so let's start with you guys. For people who have not heard your show, what are you guys all about? What do you do?
Well, for 3 hours a night, my partner does Tom Likas, and then we go home to the Valley. Isn't that right, Tommy?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Right you are, Tim. Oh, boy.
It throws in a little Rick D's, and then we're off to Coldwater Canyon.
Oh, well, you know it. Just right into that valley, just at 11 o'clock, and it is wonderful. Thank you so much, Tim.
Any giveaways tonight, Rick?
Well, we do have some Tony Romas, and it's all coming up.
Oh, thank you, Tom. You like that?
Oh, look at that. Yes. Yes, I do. One day we're going to drag Ralph Garman in, and the two of you are going to have a Tom off, and we're going to see which one of you gets the highest.
You let
score.
Me know when and where. I'll be there.
We will do that. All right. John and Jeff, you guys are on late at night. What do you guys do?
Well, Jeff is married. I only date Asian women, so we talk about relationships and just stuff in the news. And I just got back from Thailand 2 weeks ago.
Thailand?
Yeah.
Now, you know what I think when I think Thailand?
And that's exactly what a lot of people think.
That we'll be seeing you on Dateline NBC one of these days. What's the sweet tea?
Actually,
come on in.
I've met Chris Hansen, so maybe I'll be on a future episode. Oh.
What were you doing in Thailand, John? I have to know.
I was dating as many Asian women as possible in
town. Dating?
Dating.
And also we're preparing for a Stone Phillips interview.
So why are you here, my young man?
You know, in Thailand, Tom, you don't need Likas 101. You don't need Likas 101 in Thailand because you just go and you have fun and you don't have to even worry about $40 a day.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Do you have to check ID there? How's that work?
$5 long time.
Sometimes you have to check the plumbing in Thailand. But
always check the plumbing.
Did you get any unexpected surprises?
Luckily, I did not get any surprises in Thailand.
You know, they don't call it Bangkok for nothing, you know?
Exactly. So we'll get into that. But I only date Asian women. Jeff is married. He's a little bit more conservative. I'm a little bit more reasonable. And so there's the difference.
Now, do women get pissed that you say you only date Asian women? I've heard your show, and you are obsessed with this.
I don't think it's an obsession, it's a preference.
Oh, I do. I think it's an obsession.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well...
Because you keep bringing it up.
Well, I think it's a good thing. If you know what you like, then you don't waste your time fooling around with people that aren't going to give you what you want.
He's fixated. He is fixated.
That's what I think.
The crosshairs is like the bionic eye, Asian woman. I mean, he will find an Asian woman anywhere.
Yeah, but not just any Asian woman. They got to be... I like glamorous Asian women. I don't like... Asian women that are not very glamorous.
Weren't you dating Miss Thailand?
That was quite a while ago, Tim, yes.
Wow, look at
that. A former Miss Thailand.
1960?
No, actually, like 1999, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Really?
I noticed just in the news the other day there was a military coup in Bangkok just days after you left. The government is crumbling there.
That's when Dateline NBC was chasing me in Phuket, Thailand.
So you like glamorous Asian women. You don't want, like, the Chinese chick on Desperate Housewives or something like that.
No, I don't like that. I like the glamorous Asian women.
He has changed his name to John Mark Boyle.
Yeah, that guy ruined it for every white guy. When I got back from Thailand, they extensively went through my luggage because I was a single white guy going to Thailand.
Profile.
So I was definitely profiled coming back to LAX.
Have they checked your hard drive yet, or do the authorities don't have the warrant yet to get into...
Chris Hansen from Dateline does not have the warrant yet.
Did they wonder why you had 500 John and Jeff jock cards with you?
You know something? I didn't tell anyone what I did in Thailand. Thailand stays in Thailand.
Arigato. May I sign an autograph card for you?
But if you want to check out some of the ladies I met in Thailand, you can go to the website, johnjeff.com.
Now, how do you hook up with these chicks when you get to Thailand? Like, you get off the plane, is there a place you have to go? Do you ask the cab driver where to go? How does this work?
Well, here's what happened. When I got into Bangkok at 6 a.m., it was a 17-hour nonstop flight from Los Angeles. And as soon as I got my baggage, there were women in very, very short skirts and dresses waiting to meet American men coming off the Los Angeles flight. I did not take that offer because you never know, you could get robbed on the way to the hotel. So my objective was get to the hotel in Bangkok, then play around. But a massage every day and a different woman every night, and it's really a great place to go if you like.
I do that in the valley. 17 hours nonstop.
It costs a lot more, I imagine.
No, but you can get a massage, Tom, for $5 US
really?
In Thailand for 1 hour.
Happy ending?
That might be a little bit more, but...
That's $6.
That's about $6, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but a great place. If you've never been, you got to go.
Okay, sounds good. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank are normally on the air at this time.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I the only one drinking on stage?
So far.
I haven't been offered anything.
We have a fridge right here fully loaded with Miller Lights.
I'll drink the Miller Lite.
Awesome now. Here we go.
Of the staff.
I love drinking at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll drink a beer.
I think we should turn this into a drinking show. What do you guys say?
Well, that's
the bruise down.
Cheers, you guys. Thanks so much for coming
out. Of course, last time we were doing a drinking show, I think they tell me I sang a song to Tom. I don't remember that.
You know,
if I did, I'm sorry.
That was a doozy.
I wish I brought the MP3 of that.
Something about creamy butter or batter.
That wasn't me. That was the drunk guy that lives deep inside.
He'll be coming out in a little while.
Let's hope not.
Now, of course, most people listening now have heard your show because you're on in all three places, Phoenix, San Diego, L.A., but what is the concept? We don't get a chance to talk to each other very often, and we don't get a chance really to explain who we are to the listeners very often. We just kind of do our thing. What's the concept of the show?
Oh, it's very simple. There's three points of view. There's mine, the right one, then those two on the left and the right.
Yes.
We haven't really thought about that for a long time. What the hell is it that we do during the middle of the day?
We should have thrashed it out before we went on the air years ago. We never came up with a concept.
I think it's...
Yeah, what the hell is it? We just sort of show up and talk.
Maybe that's why it works. Nothing.
We don't over-concept it. We didn't conceptualize it. We just show up and BS our way.
We did a whole hour on anal automobiles yesterday, and it was probably the best topic we've done
in
months.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the anal duster.
It's where you put anal in front of the name or brand of a car, and you just keep going until you run out of cars, and hilarity ensues, and it worked.
Really?
Yeah, try it.
I don't understand the
concept. It's like an anal probe.
Anal probe.
Name anal and then name a car.
Anal magnum.
There you go.
Anal expedition.
Anal scout.
And I got up this morning and I checked my email and I had about 125 emails of people going, anal Peugeot.
More emails about that than Terrell Owens, really? I'll guarantee.
You could sit here all day. And by the way, I agree with you on this. You could sit all day and study up like you're boning up for the biology final. You could sit and try to come up with the most brilliant topics, but the ones that people remember are the ones that took absolutely no thought at
right.
all.
Isn't that sad? Because when this magical hour of stupid car things was going by, I had this big stack of material I just threw away. I spent hours and hours on it. Oh, Frank.
I've been gaining a lot of weight during the show with all the sandwiches I've been eating.
Sandwiches and pie. We start pulling out pie now.
I do eat a lot of pie, too. That is true.
Rhubarb is my favorite.
That's the word on the street.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we just have a good time. We're trying to make people's lives who actually have real jobs in the middle of the day go by faster. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We're trying to have fun.
Yeah, well, that's all good. Now, we have all of us together at one time, which only happens this one time every year, that we all get together on a stage. We all get together. I should not stand in your way here. I should stand in the way.
No. We also have introduced, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Leifert.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah.
This is the one chance we all get to be together. I mean, because we all work at different times of day, we don't go to the same parties or eat the same lunches or dinners. We're always doing something.
Or date the same Asians.
Date the same Asians.
I've never been to Phuket.
But, Frosty, even you could get laid in Phuket.
Yeah.
What a sad, sad place.
He
it
doesn't like that.
Putang Beach.
Yeah, I stayed in Putang Beach. It was great.
Really?
Yeah.
Very nice.
What color is the sand there?
White, like the guys.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about what we do. Before we get into any specific topics, I want to talk about what we do, because a lot of people do not understand our kind of radio station, and the thing I hear all the time is, you guys don't talk about the important stuff. You don't talk about politics. You don't talk about the war in Iraq. You don't talk about whether the stock market's going. You don't talk about anything important. How would you guys all respond to that?
Well, we do touch on that stuff. I mean, you know, if the Twin Towers fall, yeah, we're going to talk about it. But usually we don't. I don't think anyone on the stage goes in there trying to do a serious AM radio type of talk show. There are AM stations that do that and do a good job of it. We don't need another one doing that. What makes Free FM work is we don't do that. We don't OD on that sort of stuff. We will go there if it's important, if it's topical, but we sure as hell would never devote, I think, 4 hours to politics. And that's why the ratings are high, because we don't do that.
Right. The only guy that is on our station, oh, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Al Rantel always talks about politics.
Oh, no, I love it. I love to talk about the, you know, the federal deficit and all of that, and immigration. I think Frosty's right. There are enough shows doing that, Tom, and we're probably the one station that doesn't do all of that stuff.
Well, you used to do that, though, right, for a living, huh, Tommy?
Yeah, because I was on AM radio. I mean, in AM radio, who's out there? People over 50. With AM radios in their cars.
So, you're telling me when you worked at AM radio, Tom, that you never had an event where you did a rack signing?
No. No, because I'd have to get on my knees to do a rack signing.
At a senior center.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know what's depressing about listening to AM radio when you're listening to you know, one of these other stations is during a commercial break, they'll come on and they'll try to sell you caskets.
Yes.
Yeah, discount caskets.
Whoever buys their own casket, though. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense.
A real planner, I guess.
Yeah. But I'm going to take this a step further. I not only do we not do that kind of a radio show on our station, but also I think we really do talk about the stuff that people care about. The dirty little secret about our radio format is that people under 50, the kind that advertisers want to reach, don't read the paper, don't watch the news excessively, don't pay attention to what's going on, don't care. They just don't care. They don't vote as much. They're not involved as much. By the way, ever gone to your local polling place and seen the age of the people signing you in? The 90-year-old women with the cotton ball for hair there who sign you in?
The arthritic knuckles?
Absolutely. Yeah. The League of Women Voters, they're all 85-plus. That's who's involved. The stuff people care about is the stuff we talk about every day, and that is why these radio stations have people who are, you know, well, let's face it, they're sponsored by Forest Lawn. Those commercials are on there constantly.
Well, you say it, I mean, you sum it up in the opening of your show. Tommy, how does that go? The opening of your show?
It's a different kind of radio talk program. We're the radio talk show that is not hosted by a right-wing wacko or a convicted felon. No, I am your host.
By the way, Bob Moore came up to you before the show. We've got a sponsor for that. Dead Air. Not and hosted.
We sold it.
You could slide a little. Yes.
We put a billboard in there.
A five-second commercial.
It's a different kind of radio talk program.
Save 15% on your auto insurance with Geico.
Yes. Not hosted. I am your host.
Durex Vibrations condoms.
Write down our toll-free telephone number. You're going to need it.
Bank of America.
They're selling everything.
Sell all the time you can.
That's absolutely right. I have no idea when we're taking a break, so we're taking one right now, because I'm assuming it's about break time. It's Think Tank 5.
Yeah.
I'm Tom Likas. More to come here on Free FM.
Miller Lite on 97.1 KLSX Free FM.
Tom Likas here.
Tommy!
Oh, yeah!
We're here with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Conway and Whitman, John and Jeff, and it's the annual Think Tank. You can come down and join us, by the way, here on the Sunset Strip at the Key Club. Right here on Sunset Boulevard, you cannot miss the Key Club. If I have to tell you where it is, you're probably too dumb to show up anyway, and we don't want you coming down from that place. Also, I should tell you, Adam Carolla is coming in here and will be with us beginning at 11 o'clock.
Oh, hey.
And we up the stakes. We'll up the ante. So come on down and see Adam and everybody else on the station, for God's sake. Let me start with you, John and Jeff. All right, we talked about the fact that the kind of show we do kind of radio station we have. Let's talk a little bit about, all right, if we're not talking about government, politics, the news, what's on the front page, what is the issue that got the most feedback or the most flack recently? Like something that you talked about it once and you can't get rid of it now.
I think when we brought up itemized receipts for child support, I think that's a sore spot for a lot of guys who are paying child support. They have no idea where their money's going. There's a lot of embezzlement and fraud in child support. Every time we bring that up, the phones light up. This government needs to have accountability and itemized receipts for child support because no guy knows where the money's going.
Yeah.
And right now we're on the honor system, and people are taking advantage of that.
Yeah, there's no honor in the honor system. We need a child support debit card. In other words,
we know where the money is going.
Yeah.
It's going to your ex so she can tart herself up to find the next goddamn sucker. That's where the money's going.
Yeah. That's right.
And that's why we need accounting and itemized receipts, because right now a guy writes the check. That's all the government wants the guy to do, but the guy has no say in how the money is spent, and that is a crime in my
opinion. Well, not just no say in how the money is spent. I mean, the fact is, I was audited last year by the IRS, and thank God I made it through.
Well, you make a seven-figure salary, Tom, so you're on that list.
Were you scared?
Of course I was scared. Because immediately when you get that letter in the mail, you assume that you did something wrong. Well, they caught you doing something wrong. That you did. I have the most conservative tax return in the world, and it's the size of a small-town phone book. It's huge. So I could have made a mistake, and it could look like a criminal act. I don't know. Turned out I had one arithmetic error on there, and I owed practically nothing.
Yes, I failed to claim a talent fee from Camacho's. In the city of industry, we were there for Cinco de Mayo, and my account forgot to include that.
Well, you should sue the software company.
Exactly. No, but here's the deal. It's like if you have to show up at the IRS, you know, most people have a shoebox full of receipts. Of course, I had like a crate of receipts and paper and statements and all that. If you get audited by the IRS, you got to be able to prove every penny, everything you did. But if you're paying some broad, you know, $1,000 a month to take care of that little mistake that you made a few years ago, she does not have to justify any of that. And the reason is because, look, this whole child support thing is a big joke anyway. This has nothing to do with the best interest of children. It has to do with people who don't want to pay welfare anymore. And they don't even care if they've got the right guy pay child support. All they care about is that some schmuck is going to send his money to that broad, and that's it. Their responsibility at the government level is done.
Well, every time we bring it up on the air, 80% of the women that call in say, I shouldn't have to justify how I spend the child support. After all, I gave birth to this child. And this is the justification that's out there, and we need to crack down on it. Unfortunately, politicians are afraid of the female vote in this country,
but
so they're never going to do it.
Half of the voters are men. I don't understand why the men take it. I mean, it's 50-50 or 48-52%. How can the laws totally favor women if half the voting public is men, if we all got together and say, no, we're going to change these laws?
Because 75% of the politicians are lawyers. That's why.
And also, women will vote more often than guys.
Yeah.
Plus, you made a point on your show that women later on become Democrats so they can be supported by the government.
Well, that's right. You see, when women are young, they can depend upon being supported by, hot guys, young guys, successful guys, guys who are doctors, lawyers, architects. When women pass that sell-by date, the expiration date, and they no longer have the looks to attract that kind of money, then they do it through alimony. And then when the guy dies, then, of course, they become members of the League of Women Voters, and they start listening to AM talk radio, and they start depending on Social Security, Medicare, Medi-Cal, Medicaid.
So
women have a whole lifetime of guys they're depending on.
As it turns out, the U.S. Senate is paying vagina money.
That's exactly right. Which is really a form of a political bribe when you get right down to it. That's what that's all about.
Yeah, the bottom line is that it's a crime. And listen, it's not to bash women, but it's wrong. The money should go to the kid. In other words, instead of the woman spending the money on breast implants, the money should go, you know, to the kid's education.
So he can buy beer and weed.
Stuff like important stuff, yeah.
I can't imagine if my parents are still together, you know, but if my parents were divorced and I'm 16 years old, I'm still getting a check from my dad and I can spend it like I want to spend it.
Yeah, it's
true. It's not going to go to my education.
We know
a percentage of that child support should be marked for education, whether it's 10%, 20%, but I mean, it's just, it's an outrageous amount of money that a lot of guys are spending, and they have no say as to how the money is spent.
Yeah, well, look, let's take some of these big famous cases. Wasn't it Jay-Z that's paying $55,000 a month in child support? Now, tell me how it costs $55,000 a month to raise a child. A month!
I think it's just Jay. She got the Z.
Jay to the Z.
It's outrageous stuff. It's just outrageous. But nobody cares. Nobody cares. All they care about is making sure the little ladies get their cashola. That's all they care about. And whether it's spent on the kids or not, they don't care.
Hey, Tom, do you have a vasectomy?
No.
Why not?
I'm scared to death of doctors. I've had very bad experiences.
It's in and out, I think. It's like you walk out of the office.
They're touching the family jewels there, for God's sake.
But still, isn't that the ultimate insurance policy for a guy like you who never wants to have kids?
I haven't had laser eye surgery and a number of other things people say.
Well, I don't know that I'd compare vasectomy to LASIK eye treatment.
Really?
I'd go to a different doctor.
Yeah. Certainly you don't want to get it at the same place.
Yeah, but either way, they're working on your balls.
Yeah. Things you don't want to hear the doctor say when he's down in that region.
Oops. But I think Frank brings up a great question for you, Tom, and that is someone with your philosophy would probably be, as Frank puts it, well insured to go
no
in
doubt.
There.
No doubt.
Plus, they offer the surgery up here in the second level of the Key Club.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Right next to the tattoo parlor up there. It's very exciting.
You should get it done, Tommy.
No, I would love to get it done. Believe me, I wish I didn't have this fear of having it done.
Have them put you out.
They
pull your wisdom teeth. They just knock you out and they'll snip your nuts.
Nobody does that. Nobody puts you out to snip your nuts.
Well, you can ask for that, can't you?
Oh, I think they could put you out for that.
Yeah.
It's called tequila.
The problem with getting snipped, though, let's say, I mean, you say today in 2006, you don't want to be trapped, but let's say the Tom Likas 2010, you've fallen head over heels in love with this woman that's the love of your life. You're getting older, you want to settle down. By God, you want kids, but you got snipped. That can happen.
I don't want
don't
kids.
Don't bet on that.
Well, today you don't.
No.
You might mellow like an older man, like a grandpa, suddenly you like kids.
What do you think I am, Tony Randall?
No. Well, I'm just saying. No. How do you know 10, 15 years from now you might be a different person and you want to do the kiddies around?
Well, look, the point is, bottom line, I understand what you're saying, that would be a good reason not to have a vasectomy. But the reason is simple. I'm just scared of doctors is all. But I'm a fanatic condom user. I haven't impregnated anybody in 16 years. Been a long time since I did it. I'm not planning on doing it anytime soon. And I don't date women who won't have an abortion, period.
Now,
end of story.
Tom, is there anything inside of you where, I understand you don't want to be, you know, financially responsible for a kid, you don't even want to necessarily be in the kid's life, but is there that little piece of you that would love to look into the eyes of a child? You don't have to be responsible for it all. Somebody's completely taking care of that kid, but to go, wow, that's I made him. That's my son. Yet you don't have to have any responsibility.
I have the closest thing to that. My brother has a son. He's 6 years old. My nephew. He looks like I did when I was 6 years old.
Do you wear sunglasses?
He acts.
Does he do rack signings?
I'm going to make sure he does.
He's in training.
That's right. Hopefully he'll be here in the next few months coming to pay a visit. And I love hanging out with him, and that fulfills any interest I have in hanging around kids. I just don't want to have to teach a human being how to wipe his ass, okay? Let's get to the bottom line. I don't want to be responsible.
So nursing is also not a...
Nursing is out. Absolutely.
Is Dino the last guy you taught to wipe his ass?
I haven't worked on him yet. He's next.
So you only date women who've already had abortions in the past?
No, because...
Well, how do you know they will have one if they say, yeah, I'll have an abortion?
I have the conversation with them.
But how do you know...
How romantic. How romantic.
There's nothing romantic about it. I'm having sex.
But, Tom, you're a welcome
guy. You have it during sex?
Sipping
Cabernet.
Oh,
by the way, will you have an abortion if this thing busts on me?
No. Oops. I had that conversation before. First of all, just about everybody I ever date, if they don't know who I am or what I do, they tune in, they find out what I'm all about, and that's an issue. I have had women run fleeing from the room. They find out what I do for a living. Or
me too.
You're who?
Me too.
That's fine. That's okay. I'd rather they flee from the room than hand me papers later and say I owe them money. Okay?
But Tom, you're essentially trusting a woman. That goes against Likas 101.
No,
where
I'm not.
Where you hope and pray that she will have that abortion. There's no guarantee she will.
Women change their mind. Let's say you meet a great girl, all right, and she's awesome, and then all of a sudden you get that call, and then she says, you know what, I've did a little soul searching, I'm going to have the kid. Now, do you raise that kid? Are you a father figure to that kid? Complete?
That's when you do the...
You jettison the pod?
That's when you start talking about suicide, right?
Right, exactly.
Isn't there something you can squirt in a drink that will induce...
Lovely.
That's how they do it in Taiwan.
But essentially, you're trusting a woman.
Well, tell the guys, now, if your girlfriend gets pregnant, do not take her into a hot tub. That would be wrong to celebrate.
And turn it up all the way.
And do not take a bottle of champagne in there with you. That would be wrong.
Plus, Tom, if you ever had a vasectomy, you'd lose your Durex condom ad.
That's exactly right.
Yes. Durex vibrations condoms.
Now, Tom, that is, I have to believe that abortion conversation, that's a real mood killer. I mean, up top, with the that's not very romantic.
Because
you're not doing it
as you're about to have sex. You're doing it while you're having, a drink.
Oh, over a bottle of Merlot.
While you're eating chips and salsa.
You lock eyes across a candlelit dinner.
I have said it.
After dessert.
Come on, you know me. Do I have candlelit dinners?
But you imagine saying it while you're having sex.
I'm boozing at Big Wang's, for Christ.
But don't you think a woman is going to just go along with it? Oh, yeah, and then she changes her mind?
If you're banging her while you're saying it, yeah.
Jeff, don't ever do that again.
I have to tell you, dear, the sun rises and sets on you. I get up in the morning, you're the first thing I think about. I go to bed, and you're the last thing I think about. You will get an abortion, Mustard Air.
Exactly. I'll take a break. And we will come back.
Tommy!
Yeah! Frosty, Hottie, and Frank. I'm here with Conway and Whitman, and we are here with John and Jeff. It's Tom Likas on the Think Tank from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip. On 3FM. Think Tank, fifth annual Think Tank from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip in West Hollywood. Oh, we are here with Frosty, Hottie, and Frank. We're here with Conway and Whitman. We're here with John and Jeff. And let me get over to you guys because it's your show usually. Are there issues that you come up with, you talk about them for a day, it was a throwaway, and now you can't get it out of people's minds? They won't shut up about it. They won't stop bringing it up.
What was that?
It's calling us the triplets.
Oh.
We hate that.
That never went away. That was a Sam Rubin. He named us that, and it's never gone away, and we absolutely hate that.
Yeah, don't call us the triplets, please. That's all
it's
we ask.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Would you rather be called Sam Rubin?
If I had to make a choice, I'll take triplets.
Yeah. If we did that, Tim, we'd drop to a .001 in the ratings.
Yeah,
so we'd rather
exactly.
not.
Frosty, I'm sorry. Could you please keep your hand off my leg? I mean, Christ almighty, I know it's tight in here. But Jesus Christ. It's really getting annoying.
He's comforted by you, too.
Oh, Babo.
Ah, man, I tell you, man, that Frosty, man. Guy's got his goddamn hands all over you, Babo.
And aren't they soft? They're like a keyboardist's hands.
Ah, nice. Sediment. The guy's got the goddamn lotion on those hands.
I Jergens them every night.
Jergens?
Jergens.
Oh.
Jergens.
No, Tom, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I know these guys have something they want to say, but you're
not really.
I don't know. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But we talked about this the other day, Tom, and I wanted to ask you what you thought. That my whole philosophy was when you break up with somebody, because Frank says, you don't care about somebody, you're breaking up with them. I said, no, it's possible to break up with, the hard breakups are the ones that you go, it's a really good person. I mean, I don't want to hurt you. I care about you. I just don't want you on top of me. I don't want to be with you. I'm not in love with you. Those are the hard breakups. It's easy to break up with somebody who's disrespected you or cheated on you, whatever. Do you think it's possible to break up with somebody who you care about?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're such a woman.
See, this is what we got into it. This is something that's been going on for like 3 days now.
Yeah.
If you really care about her and she's perfect and you're in love with her, or maybe not even love, but you're compatible, everything's fine, why would you be dumping her?
Because she sucks in the sack.
Thank you. Thank you. But she's a lovely person or he's a lovely guy. You get along, you go to movies, you go, you're a great person. Those are the hard breakups because there's really no other reason than I don't feel anything for you.
You know, Tom, I hate to tell you this, and maybe you've never really thought about it, but life isn't all about sex.
It isn't all about sex. But
I mean, what's
say,
sex? A minute or two, and there's 23.8 hours in the day that's not about sex.
I would say sex is our primary motivation for everything we do, even when we're not having it or thinking about it. It is the reason why we want to be Radio personalities, artists, doctors, accountants, architects. The reason we want to have money, more money, lots of money.
Go to Thailand.
That stuff on its own isn't that interesting. It's so we can get the youngest, hottest people to get into the sack with us. That's what it's all about.
Then explain people who have already got that, and they are, in fact, in relationships that are monogamous, and they're growing up together, they're growing old together. They're not still out there chasing young
men. It's called trophy wives. If they make more money, they trade up. I talk about this on the air all the time. I compare women to cars. You know, guys don't grow up dreaming of driving a Toyota Corolla, yet many do. And there's a reason for that, because they're reliable, dependable, don't cost much. You can get 150,000 miles out of them. They're absolutely fantastically reliable, but not very visually interesting. Most guys' wives are Toyota Corollas, but if they could drive a Testarossa, they would trade up immediately, and that is why if these guys won the lottery, that is why if these guys suddenly became Dr. This or so-and-so Esquire, many of them would simply trade up to a hotter, younger model. Am I wrong about that?
How many of you are with a model that's maybe the Corolla? Maybe we shouldn't use that in a drawing.
He's not here yet.
The Civic. But you know what? She may not be a 10. She may be an LA 3 or 4. But by God, you love each other. She's
an
the
anal
woman.
You go.
You know,
well, that's why you put a light package on it and a glass pack and soup it up.
And $5,000 rims on a $2,000 car.
I say dump that Prius.
You got a DTP.
Wouldn't you rather be with a Prius that you love and you get along with, you enjoy spending time with, you can actually talk to because she has a brain as opposed to some dumb as a Boxer Rocks Hollywood Bleak 110?
Everyone loves to say that, and it sounds good on paper, Frosty, but in the real world, you know, when you get naked, a man has to get aroused. And if he's looking at rolls of fat, or if he's looking at somebody who's got spider veins, that big blue vein that looks like a lightning bolt from having three kids, whatever, you know what I'm talking about. If they've got the fupa going on, all I'm going to say is, if a guy can afford to trade up, he does. That's the bottom line. We did this as a topic. I asked guys, if you had unlimited money, would you be with the woman you're with now? And the vast majority of them said no.
Well, I don't exist in the real world. I exist on paper.
So men lease women.
Yes.
Just like cars.
Why? Well,
every 30,000 miles.
If women are just like cars, you can buy a brand new Testarossa that always has problems, and you hate that effing car.
They're high maintenance.
And it's only there to make you look good. But your Corolla is dependable. You've driven it 300,000 miles.
That's right.
You know when you go out there, you can get to where you want to go, even though you look like an idiot driving it. Is it about your image or about...
That's why I don't buy. I only lease now.
So when you start getting problems with the Testarossa, you trade it in for something else.
All absolutely.
Right. Every 30,000 miles, lube it or lose it.
Right, exactly.
Now, that's been my theory, Tom. It's like when you start having problems, that first problem, get the hell out.
I say if there are certain problems that if they come up, they're red flags... Out.
The minute she doesn't start, I'm out.
Zero tolerance policy.
So if she, so if she's not working out, you take her to AMCO.
Double A.
BP. No.
You got to check that engine light.
There are definitely deal breakers in relationships.
Absolutely.
I think as soon as there's violence, the relationship should be over.
Done.
Because when a woman hits you or you hit her, there's no way.
Now, wait a minute. There are some instances where you have to punch a woman in the face.
Seriously. If you don't, she's going to walk all over you.
Yeah, but exactly. you're supposed to leave when that
happens. What would those be, Tim?
Well, let me give you an example of one, Tommy. I'm glad you asked. Let's say you're at Thanksgiving dinner at the Likas house.
Yes.
All right, you got 9 or 10 people. You got Dino over there and whoever he's dating. You got a bunch of people from the show. And a woman comes in, and she's got a shotgun, and she's killed 3 people, and she's aimed it right at you. Don't you punch her in the face?
Well, yes.
Self-defense.
How often does that come up?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Have you been to Tim's house for Thanksgiving?
No, but I want to go.
Frosty will punch a woman for taking a bite of his pie.
My pie.
Some say I don't like pie, but I do.
You don't like pie? Are you kidding?
I mean, I have certain the things I absolutely won't tolerate. I will not date a woman with a low FICO score. I will not date a woman with a lot of debt. You know why? Because you know who she expects to pay that debt? Me.
Now, Tom, you talked about that yesterday where you researched. Can you find out somebody's FICO score?
Well, not
because if you ask somebody, some girl, a lot of women are going to go, I don't even know because I don't know. I mean,
not legally you can. All right. No, but I can say, I can ask, and I do.
But Tom, why can't you just say no to someone who's broke and has bad credit if they ask you for money?
It's not a matter of the money. It's a matter that the longer they're with you, the more they expect you to take on their responsibility.
But that's up to you.
You can say no, but I don't want to have to spend all my time. I had a relationship like this where somebody was constantly asking me for money, and I was constantly saying no, and I didn't give her the money.
But the most beautiful women...
after a while, I get tired of being a parent. I felt like I was dating a 12-year-old. Can I have you?
You know what that's like, don't you, John?
Oh. No, I don't.
Well, hey, come on, man.
You have to ask him in Thai.
How young did you go in Thailand?
Eight.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
Really?
18, oh, 19. God.
Hey, Tommy, how low would you go with the FICO score? Would you date a 550?
No. Nope.
650?
Probably not.
Wow.
She's got to be over 700?
700 FICO score.
Really? Platinum, baby. Platinum.
We can have a relationship, but first you have to go see Fernando Perez at Best Money.
The best in the business.
I know you like him, too. You guys talk about him as well.
Would you date a woman who had a higher FICO score than you?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes, I would.
Now, Tom, I know you're not struggling. I mean, you're at a point in your career. You're a millionaire, and you're set. You could you could put the microphone down today and be set for life. So it's not like you don't have money to spend on someone. So why are you still stingy? If you like this chick and she has no credit and she's broke, you can afford a little cash on the side.
But I don't have to give her any cash.
But you can afford it. It's not going to hurt you if you do.
But how does that come up, though? How do you ask somebody their FICO score?
You don't ask them their FICO score. You ask them.
Is this before or after you demand the abortion? Wow, yeah. What a charmer you are!
You will pay for the abortion.
Because you put the abortion on a credit card.
So you're asking what the FICO score?
Well, by the way, I'll have sex with people with any FICO score. Oh, okay. I just won't get into a relationship with them. You understand? I think women with low FICO scores are wild in the sack. I really do, because I don't think you compartmentalize your life. I think if you're wild when it comes to, like, not paying bills and hiding from creditors and stuff, you're wild in the sack.
Yeah, if you got the drama, you're pow.
Would you work with a chick at 690 and try to clear up some old bills?
Not my problem, Tim.
But the hottest women are usually broke, so you're missing out on the 910s.
No, but that's my point. I don't move in with them. I don't marry them. I just have sex with them, and then I boot them out the door. That's what I do with them.
So it wouldn't matter what their credit score was if that's the case.
No. What I'm saying is I would not get into a relationship with somebody.
Meaning someone moving into your house?
Moving into my house, or this is my girlfriend.
But why would you let a woman move into your house?
I wouldn't now. I would not.
Oh, what an empty life you must lead, Tom.
Oh, no.
By the way, Tommy, what is your FICO score?
Tim, it is 745.
Wow.
And it would be over 800, but I have too many lines of credit.
I've heard you say, Tom, you have too much credit, so that lowers your score. Is that true?
Yes, which is why I don't have 850. I'm more like 815.
Oh, boy.
Now, what about SAT scores? I mean, so you date like a...
Lower the better.
Okay.
I've always said if there was a 10 who would had a brain like Forrest Gump, the verbal abilities of Helen Keller, that would be a quinella right there.
Well, I'm actually working on a theory that women who have A-size breasts, they get A's in school. B's get B's, C's get C's, and D's get D's.
I think that's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Heidi, how'd you do in school?
I was a straight A student.
I'm sorry.
Until I came to California, and now I'm pretty much average. Full C. Nice, strong C.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. It's the Think Tank from the Key Club.
Tommy!
Adam Carolla will join us when we come back here on Free FM.
Tommy!
Here we are. Here we are at the Think Tank on Free FM from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip in West Hollywood. And we've got a live crowd, and we've got, we have quite a panel because it's all the people, all of us who all work together here. We have, of course, I'm Tom Likas. I am your host. And with us, we have Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Frosty!
We have Conway and Whitman, who follow us every night here in Los Angeles.
Timmy! Conway!
Timmy!
And we have with us Adam Carolla, who does our morning show.
Thank you.
Unclear, always unclear whether to clap for yourself. Always unclear.
I think on radio it's cool, TV it sucks.
All right, yeah, you're right, so I'll clap for myself. All right, hey, and give yourselves a hand. I
there
hate that
go.
Jackass.
Clap for yourselves.
I don't think they deserved a hand, I think is what happened there. Adam, you're the new person on these stations with us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for a little while together, but you're the new guy. You've been doing this now for 9 months. What's your reflection on that time you've been doing it?
Well, it's like anything, any job, I guess. It's hard at the beginning when you don't know everybody and you don't know where the water cooler is and where the bathroom is and all that kind of stuff. And then with repetition, it gets easier, and then eventually you get bored, and then you kill yourself. So I'm at the point right now, right between bored and killing myself.
I see.
But it is, obviously, it was monumental at the beginning. And now the last, you know, few weeks, few months feels easy. Feel like we're getting into a groove and, you know, trying to improve on a daily basis.
Now, for people who have not heard your morning show, because they may have heard you on Loveline for a million years, but I asked these guys what the concept of their show is. What is your concept?
Hmm.
Well, he had the same answer we do. We said, huh?
Don't worry, we don't know either.
Well, I think it's sort of evolving, but ultimately, see if you can be funnier than Kevin and Bean and Mark and Brian. Which didn't sound like a tall order when I started, but evidently it's a comedic mountain the size of Mount Everest. Because I worked with Kevin and Bean, and I thought, oh, I'm funnier than these guys, and I still think that way, but it's ever-evolving. I think for our show, it's probably more my voice, more my opinion, more probably a little more like your show than a typical morning show. It's tough at the beginning because I felt like at the beginning we were trying to do a morning show. We were trying to do our version of a morning show. Lots of bells and whistles, lots of plate spinning. But it appears that people want it to be more, again, like an afternoon show, more personality-driven, more Adam Carolla opinions. So I guess that's what we'll give them.
Good. Very good. Now,
You don't have to applaud.
Now, I've asked these guys, and I'll ask you the same thing. Is there something you brought up on the air? Could be anything, a topic, an issue, something about yourself, anything. You just, it was a throwaway.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't give it any thought. You just said something, and it wouldn't go away. People keep bringing it up. They keep calling. They keep bothering you about it.
Dave Damashek made a racial remark against the Asian community that didn't seem to go away very quickly. Other than that, I guess there's things you bring up. For me, I guess sometimes you bring up personal stories. We were talking the other day about my buddy Ray put a hose in his butt and sprayed it out of his ass at a guy who worked at Jack in the Box. And those things seem to resurface. People grab onto those enema stories with two hands and don't let go.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Much more than they grab onto the front page of the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. And that's the dirty little secret about what we do, this kind of radio station, is that what people care about is not what's on the front page of the paper. What we care about is ourselves. And I don't just mean ourselves. I mean everybody cares about themselves more than they care about some stupid story in the news. That's the bottom line.
You know, getting back to this, when you're at a drive-thru blowing water out of your butt, you can't really ask a chick for her FICO score when you date her, right?
Not at the same time. You blow the water out of the ass, then get the FICO score. Obviously, you wouldn't do it while you're in the drive-thru.
If you had a high FICO score, you wouldn't be blowing water out of your ass.
Yeah, if you had my FICO score, you wouldn't be in a drive-thru to hear.
Understand, though, people, this is before your Xbox. We had to make our own fun back then. You guys, some of us are old enough to remember life before the video games and satellite TV. You had to put garden water up your tuchus and blow it out at people that worked at fast food joints. We didn't have your computers and your satellites and your cable TV.
Well, thank God those people in the driver window are making so much money where it doesn't bother them.
Right.
You know?
Now, let's talk a little bit about ourselves, just a little bit here. No, we're going to do that a lot, actually. You have kids, Adam, right?
Yes, twins.
Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that affect your view of the world or the kinds of stuff you do on the air? Because people say that to me about the fact that I don't have kids.
Mm.
You don't have kids. So
you don't know what it's like.
You don't know. So.
Yeah. Well, first off, I thought if I had a little girl, which I do have, it would affect negatively or impact my masturbation so far. Turns out she hasn't put a dent in it. I thought, well, there's no, because now this porn you look at, you're going to think of as someone's daughters instead of some coked up whore. But as it turns out, little, if anything, I've stepped it up a notch. Maybe I'm overcompensating. Maybe I'll level off when she gets into the 10th grade, but so far I'm at a fever pace. It is true. I'll tell you, for me, to be honest and not sound like a sappy parent, I always said, and I used to argue when I did Loveline with Dr. Drew, when the nut jobs, when the religious nut jobs talked about abortion and they likened it to throwing a kid in a dumpster and all this kind of stuff, and I used to say, look, it's shades of gray. If you spontaneously abort in your first trimester, that's sad. But if you do it on the third, that's sadder. And if it happens on the kid's second birthday, that's sad, but not as sad as if, well, not the part, not that you're putting a cake up there. I'm saying he's hatched and then dies. And then if the kid dies on prom night, well, even sadder. But I now, after having my twins and they're only 4 months old, think about people who have lost children when they were just 6 months old or 8 months old or not even a year old. Before, when I used to hear those stories, I'd think, well, that's sad, but he barely got to know the kid. But I got to say, if something happened to one of my kids, it would ruin a weekend. At least. And maybe a three-dayer, I don't...
And definitely put a dent in the masturbation, I'm guessing.
Maybe not. Initially, yes. I mean, that...
Just for a week or so.
Well, if they want in the morning, let's say, skip an afternoon session and just pick up in the evening, something like that.
Now, I have to ask you, have you taken a drink from the milk tap yet?
No, I haven't done that, and there are guys that are into that. I'm not. They're the guys, and I don't know if it's the same guys who like the urination stuff in the back of the magazine or the same guys that like, I'm not into the fluids. My whole thing. I look at women as a fluid receptacle. I don't like to take fluid from them, you know, a lot
of
people...
mixed up inside there somewhere. You don't want to get
in. A lot of folks do that thing with the butt, you know what I mean? It's just an exit, it's not an entrance. I'm that way with fluid. I look at women as sort of petri dishes, as you do, Tom.
Of course!
You're there to collect my fluid, I need none of yours.
Exactly.
No deposit, no return.
You clean up everything else around the house. You can clean that up. Thank you.
By the way, Adam, you have a boy and a girl. Who are you closest to?
The boy. I mean, I love them both. What do you mean? I'm a father. I don't make that judgment. Right. The boy's morbidly obese. That's how I can tell the difference between them. The boy, I can't get out of the crib without a cherry picker. And the girl, I actually were talking about it today. Did the Heisman Trophy pose with her, holding her yesterday like a football. She's that light. Just held her out and did the Heisman Trophy to my wife's chagrin. Yes. Yeah. No, I didn't spike her because there's no more excessive celebrating in the end zone. Otherwise, I threw her right to the ref and headed out to the liquor store.
You'll have this happen to you in the future, which has happened to me, and you'll have to make a decision. You're actually enjoying yourself. You're peeling one off in the bathroom. And one of your kids walks into the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, I have a theory about this. If we have a moment, I recommend it to all. Tom, if you ever do become a father or anyone out there who has young children, I realize that every guy, every male and female, for that matter, I've ever spoken to, thinks his dad has a huge Johnson and then wonders why they got such a horrible hand dealt to themselves. And I realized the reason every kid thinks their dad has a huge dork is because they saw it once, and they saw it when it was at the bridge of their nose. They were talking into it like a ring announcer at that point. It was just dropped down from the ceiling. Guy hit the bell a few times. The point is I am going to make sure that each one of my children sees me in a what I call a leather state, not erect. Yeah. That would be grotesque, please. But that sort of leathery state where you're at, where they can't tell you've been working on yourself, but you didn't just get out of the pool. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't shove it in the kid's face. You'll send the kid straight into therapy, make it look like an accident, have somebody ring the phone, come out of the shower drying your hair with the head. Add just a little glycerin to the mix, you know, just something that'll reflect the light. you know, maybe it's baby oil, whatever you use, I'm not going to tell you what to use. And then come out, give your kid one shot, act embarrassed, pull the towel in, and this will be seared into the boy or the girl's mind. And then it'll pay dividends later on in high school when they start bringing their buddies over. You know what I mean? Hey, Mr. C, yeah! You just get a high five from some 15-year-old you never met before because your son will spread the news. Just a tip for those who have children. Thank you.
Come on, Tom, don't you want to have kids now?
No, absolutely
but
not.
But now I'm looking at Adam Carolla's wiener like a boxing microphone, and I forever will. A little
Let's
odd.
Get ready to rumble!
Now, Tim, did it change the way you do a radio show when you became a father?
It does, because I haven't had sleep in a year. So you walk around like you're buzzed all day long. And the odors that come off of a kid are either hit or miss. It's either freshly bathed, where it smells like, a lotion, or it's real creepy grandma's about to die and sitting in an old folks home where everything smells like vitamins that's come out of her bum, you know? So it's a real... I don't think it's changed at all. It has for my wife. I showed Brian Whitman. What I did is I'm very proud of my wife and my daughter. So I took pictures of my wife and my daughter in a bathtub, and I showed them around the station, right? And there's one where my wife is holding the child up, and she's fully nude with her legs apart. And she said, you know, I don't mind if you show the kid one, but could you not show the one with me, with my legs spread? And Brian, you enjoyed that show.
Well, I thought it was kind of odd that a guy brings in nude photos of his wife to work. I also thought the photo of them in the tub without any water in the tub.
By the way,
was
he always sounds like he's doing me now all the time. He's not doing me.
Yes, I found the photos offensive, Tim. And you had your wife and your daughter in that tub, and we saw her wreck.
No, I think it is strange. I actually have to say, in the time I've known Tim, I think becoming a dad has changed him.
How
I do.
So?
I just think that I think that your perspective, I think everybody's perspective, it would seem if you have a child, I don't know, with Adam, I don't know if that's also true. I would assume it would be that your perspective just shifts a little bit because you think about your kids.
No, I don't think I've changed anything. For instance, when my daughter was 3 months old, I took her to Santa Anita, and she saw her dad photoed out for the first time. But it's the only place in America where you can have a cigarette in one hand, your baby in the other hand, a vodka sitting on the table in front of you, and be screaming, "Come on, you mother effer! Come on with this three! Come on, you mother effer!" And nobody looks at you.
And that, by the way, was just on the drive to the track. You should have seen Timmy once he got to the track.
Try that whole act in a Target and see how far that gets.
So, but you think it changes the way he does the show? You think it changes the way he approaches the show?
No, Tom, I don't think it changes the way he does the show. I just think it changes his perspective on life. I just think that, like, guys who have kids are always kind of thinking of the world through, oh my gosh, how's this going to impact my kid? Might this be bad for my kid? I think it would be unnatural to not think that way if you had kids. I don't, but I have kids. But you know of.
It's always, and a lot of guys do this, you know, they think, well, now they have a kid, they got a wife, and that's not what they bought into. And a lot of guys will make the big leap and go out the easy way and get into the stick, you know. They'll start dating dudes, and they'll, that's the way out. Not for me, but a lot of guys will make that leap. Just to get out of marriage and the kids. It's a big price.
I've wished I was gay many times, and I say that in all earnestness.
Really?
So, yeah.
Why is that?
Well, it's not a bad life if you really break it down. I mean, first off, we're just moments away from Boys Town here.
Yes.
You notice, let me say this, too. You want to know the difference between the gays and the heterosexuals? Drive down Santa Monica Boulevard. Before you get into Boys Town, it is syringes spread out all over the place, old sofas that have been dumped, and hobos waiting to die. Soon as you get into Boys Town, it looks like a golf course. The putting green is a medium running down the center there. The palm trees, everything is freshly scrubbed. Recycling everywhere. There's no graffiti. I mean, look where it cuts off. Look at Santa Monica. Go down to Santa Monica over down on Western. See what it looks like. You want to know the difference? That's the difference,
yes,
in the lifestyle. You get the dual income. You drive the sports car. everywhere.
No kids.
No kids. You get. I knew gay. I had gay friends that had separate bedrooms. A lot of guys. A lot of guys don't ever want to admit this, but that'd be a nice deal. If you got married, you had your own place. She had her own room. You meet together in the hall twice a week to get it on, and then it's back to your corners.
BJ's during the football game.
Well, yes,
that's eventually what the gay community wants. They want it to be as normal as. Yeah. But, Tommy, think about this. If you turn gay, you could spend $80 on dinner. 40
That's
for
right.
him and 40 for you.
Exactly.
Enjoy yourself.
That's right. But if I was gay, I would never spend anything on dinner because you just get right to the business there. That's all you do. I mean, gay men, after all,
sex
men,
is dinner.
They just want to get laid. That's it. Bottom line.
What? Felcho score.
Man. Oh, my.
I don't even know what that is. I just hear my gay friends.
Oh,
say
I think
it
you do. I think you do.
Oh, God. We'll take a break. We'll come back here. Tom Likas, Adam Carolla, Costiotti and Frank, Conway and Whitman. We're at the Key Club on the Sunset Strip in West Hollywood. Come on down and hang out with us on Free FM.
Tommy!
Adam Carolla, Funny Morning.
It's the Think Tank from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip in West Hollywood. Tom Likas, Frosty Heidi and Frank, Adam Carolla, Conway and Whitman. Now, you guys, I don't think I've ever heard a show where three people are essentially equals on a radio show.
Oh, we're not equal. You kidding me?
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, we're not equal. It's 50%, 10%, 5%. And the rest is unknown.
Could you guys do the show individually, or if one of you was missing, could you do the show? And would it be as good?
Well, what, September 8th, the day that we
live
in
infamy,
Frosty and I did the show by ourselves.
She was gone.
How'd that go?
It was the best show we've ever done.
People put up tribute websites. We'll never forget this day.
Very true.
The thing is, we could each do our individual show, but it would be a different show. Whether or not it's better or worse is like subjective, you know, in the ear of the listener. It would be different. You know, the chemistry you have when you stick the three of us together is not what any of us can replicate just doing a show by yourself. Mine would be serious and political, probably. I would probably talk about taxes, real estate, mutual
funds. Who needs a sandwich?
You know.
This show is sponsored by Subway.
I'd end up talking about all the lesbian experiences I've had. Throw in a dog story or two.
Why are you holding back on us? What are you doing?
And I'd probably do a show a lot like yours, Tom. I'm just waiting on you to die.
Really?
Give me the keys to the kingdom, my friend.
Get in line. Get in line.
Give me the keys. I'll drive.
Absolutely.
I'll do it with Whitman. He'll just do the voice, and I'll give him the opinion. They'll never even know you did. What happened to Tom?
Now let's talk a little bit about, though, how your show has evolved over the years. It's not the same as when you three started,
no,
is it?
No, not at all, no.
Oh, well, we celebrate our 6th anniversary.
Yay!
On Free FM.
We've been married 6 long years.
Yeah.
And technically, I mean, that's 6 years as this show. Frank and I worked together, you know, a couple years before that in another show here in town, and 4.5 years together in Denver and a short time in Milwaukee. So he and I have been working together for a long time.
Too long.
Yeah, if you heard tapes of the show that we did, like the sort of test show for this radio station at, what, 2 in the morning on a Sunday, 6 years ago, completely different from what you hear now. It was all me. It was a disaster. I'm surprised they hired us.
No, that's great. I think that, I wouldn't want to do the show without Frosty and Heidi. I mean, they're the best, you know, as far as radio partners to ever do a show with. I give them hell all the time. But really, I'm going to cry. No, I really, they are the best. And I give them so much hell, but I like the fact that we can do that with each other. We are brothers and sisters, and we're husbands and wives. And
you're having sex with your sister?
And we're the best friends. Hey, it's the best kind. I'm from Indiana.
All right.
By sound of applause, who would rather hear, A, Frosty's experience in Milwaukee with Frank, or B, Heidi's first lesbian story?
Oh, it's too long to do here. You'll have to listen to the show. I don't want to take up too much time.
Oh, my
God.
I'd like you to weave in the dog, too. I wasn't really listening, but I heard lesbians and dogs.
Well, my first lesbian experience was with a girl named Molly. See how, oh, see, how right. I, see how I did that?
It's my dog's name.
I know. I listen to your show.
Oh, thank you. Yes, she rapes a hippo chair that's in my twins' room.
Really?
On a daily basis, yes. There's a chair that is there that somebody got us as a gift that the kids will sit in one day, God willing, except for I don't think it's going to happen because my dog Molly has raped the bejesus out of this hippo chair. Which I think we're going to need to move because the kids are being traumatized and so is the nanny. And it's tough having a serious conversation with somebody when a golden lab is raping the bejesus out of a hippo chair. You know, when you and your wife are arguing over preschools and enrollments and things like that and the dog is in the foreground raping a hippo chair, it just adds a surreal quality to the entire conversation.
Sure it does.
Now, are the dogs in the room while you're having sex, or is that no-no?
Well, I won't let Molly in unless we bring this hippo chair in with her so she can have a partner.
So it's an orgy.
It's essentially, yes. It's a menagerie more than it is an orgy. But, yes, it's a menagerie.
But that hippo chair is asking for it. I mean, you know, the chair.
It's clear he or she wanted it, yes.
Brian Whitman, who has three dogs, will not peel one off if the dogs are in the room.
Thank you, Tim, for bringing that up.
You got it.
I appreciate that. That is any sexual experience that happens in my home. They're not that common. They usually involve me and me. I clear the room. It's like police tape, you know, it's like a crime scene. I move everybody out. I can't really be nude with my dogs. I mean, if I'm, you know, turn on.
Why not?
I don't know. There's something weird about it. And I think guys who have dogs, too, to me, it would be like having your kid in the room if you're going to have sex with a dog in the
really?
Room. I move the dogs.
I did it in front of Molly, and she actually offered up the hippo chair. She took her little paw, and she slid it toward me. Would you like to use? Are you cool?
We have a
you
dog.
You want a piece of this?
Want a taste?
We have a dog, and my wife and I were going at it a couple of years ago, where everything's getting hot and heavy, and things are getting all crazy. And then I turn around and go, hey, Christ, where's Jennifer? Where's my wife? But Brian Whitman
a lot of guys couldn't finish at that point, Tim. And I want to say, for you to be able to focus.
You got it, man. And listen, I really concentrate. But Brian Whitman has a 50-inch television set in his bedroom.
I so thought you were going a different direction.
We're going to save that for the 1 o'clock hour, honey.
No, that's. But he has a 50-inch television in his bedroom. And I want to ask you, when does a vagina get too big to be sexy?
You know it doesn't, Tim?
Is it 14 inches?
No, it really...
Is it 25 inches?
And they say you shouldn't sit that close to the television. But I do. I have a large TV that was in where I used to live was like in the living room, but now it's too big for the space where the TV is, so I rolled it into the bedroom. And I think it's the first thing a guy does with a new TV is you say, my gosh, I've got to see porn on this.
Right.
And how does it... I'll insist on watching porn on it before I buy it. I bring a disc of Taboo 2 right into the Good Guys or the Fries or wherever I'm going, I'll say throw it on.
And it goes on all 30 TV sets on the wall there?
Yeah, I mean, we can
families
watch...
Families are running.
Yeah, we can watch I'll Fly Away or whatever high def, whatever crap you have of snow geese doing their thing filmed from an ultra light, but that doesn't do it for the Ace Man. I want to see what I will be watching when I get home.
I can really see the zits on her ass. I can almost pop them.
And by
see,
the
high yeah. definition for porno was a mistake. Seriously, I wanted soft focus. I don't need to see every little vein, no. every little hair you missed, or every boil you got someplace. I don't want to see it.
That's exactly right.
No, I'm with you on that. I mean, it's like when they film Liz Taylor, they put the cheesecloth in front of the camera lens so we don't vomit. How about for the porn? And yes, that area can go from your best friend to your worst nightmare, just in a little adjustment of the conscience. And that's just out of Peter North. We haven't even gotten to the women yet. You don't want to watch Peter North in high def. You'll dive over the ottoman and do a shoulder roll to get out of the way.
Very Dick Van Dyke moment.
Yes.
I think Ken Cranes is a sponsor.
They're a sponsor, and they've okayed it. If you're going to go in, they've done, in their Encino store, they have the simulated living room. I assume that's why they did it. Bring your disc in there and watch away. Yeah. Put it to a test. You wouldn't buy a car without driving it. Why right. buy a big screen without watching porn on it?
The access is free.
Now, are you guys into porn? Seriously. Are you all into porn?
Yeah.
Anyone object to porn?
I do. Well, on principle, I do, Tom.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, sometimes. You never know.
No, you know, it's actually very strange. And Tim and I have had this conversation. He's married, so now, and I guess, you know, married guys have to kind of sneak it in. Kind of have to sneak the porn in. Like she goes to Ralph's, and you've got a window there of 30 minutes.
Right.
For me.
And they never look in the crib for it, by the way. Right underneath.
Yeah.
No, it's like pornapalooza. I mean, it's just constantly watching porn. It's. I think I'm addicted to porn.
Addicted to porn. Doesn't it lose its effect after a while?
Well, no. You also, I mean, Brian is sort of like a Catholic boy. I mean, he worked forever for Rick Dees, who probably never watched porn.
Well, no, and never on the high def. I mean,
he's old school. He's
no,
beta.
I mean, you know what? Come on. You know, let's not do the DP on the plasma.
Well, I have a sad admission. And please be honest. Show of pathetic hands. Who here has pleasured themselves in their mind's eye, not in front of porn, to old porn you used to have? Actually fantasizing about porn.
Oh, my God, everybody.
Not about somebody you went to high school with, not about an old flame. Actually fantasizing about porn from back at your first apartment.
Well, always the old Playboy centerfolds, of course.
Yes.
Who has tapes? Anybody still have videotape?
Let me tell you. I'll tell you what's funny. I'll tell you, when your collection gets big and mine is substantial, and you run into something that's not clearly labeled that you think, well, I haven't, what is this one? What is this new arrival? Yes, this one, speaking of the tapes, this was a cassette. This one I popped in excited thinking, I don't remember this title. It was entitled Head Cleaner. Still able to achieve, but I really did pop in something called Head Cleaner, thinking it was actual pornography. And then that's, you know, they, you know, when people share at the meetings, when they realize, when they give their bottom out story, that was my bottom out with porn story. I actually watched Head Cleaner.
Now, as a woman, I have a question for the guys, because I don't know how you guys think. When you watch porn, do you put yourself in, you pretend you're the guy in it, or you just watch it for what it is? Or do you pretend, when you see the pink, you pretend it's yours?
I see a nipple and I'm off to the races. That's it.
Okay, yeah. you close your, you don't, you tr-
either way is good.
Do you have to have a girl in it to get off?
Yes. Yes, I do.
How many, my friends always thought this was weird. You brought up somewhere earlier in the program, I think Ralph Garman's name came up.
Yes, it did.
He was a roommate of mine.
Uh-huh.
For some years, we lived in La Crescenta way back in the day. He always thought I was a weirdo because if I ever got hold of a new porn, I would have to scroll through the entire porn, a movie, a DVD, whatever it was. I had to see the whole thing and then go back to the part I liked best instead of just doing it incrementally. And he'd always say, well, why are you watching the whole movie and then going back? And I'd say, I don't want to waste, because when I masturbate, I always approach it as if it's my last session. You know what I mean? And I think that's what makes me such a great broadcaster. I approach the morning show like this could be your last morning show. Every time I masturbate, it is the last one. And if there's some chick I went to high school with that's at the end of the video, I'll kill myself.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's the Think Tank.
Tommy!
Tom Likas, Adam Carolla, Coffee Honey and Frank, Tim Conway, Brian Whitman. Come on down and join us here on the Sunset Strip at the Key Club for the Think Tank on Free FM. It's Free FM, it's the Think Tank.
Tommy!
From the Key Club on the Sunset Strip. And we do this once a year. We have all together everybody from the radio station. We've got Adam Carolla here with us.
Yes!
Thank you.
We've got Frosty, Heidi, and Frank here with us.
Frosty! Oh, stop.
We've got Conway and Whitman with us as well.
What's done, Whitman?
Everybody's here. Now, let me ask you guys. I'll start with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Do you guys ever suffer from talking about your personal lives on the air? Suffer consequences? I'll start with an example of my own. Yeah, I say things on the air about myself, things I believe, things I would or would not do. And then if I meet a woman, let's say, she'll go, "Didn't I hear you say one time that you had 3 dates and you're out? Did you say that?" And of course, I did say that. But then I'm having a conversation I wasn't planning on having. Do you guys have things like that happen to you?
I'm sort of the opposite because I have no friends and no social life. It's the opposite. The reason I have no friends and no social life is because of these two a-holes. All the horrible things they say about me, no one wants to be seen with me. Like, as soon as they find out who I am, they're just like, "Oh, we heard you were a fag who screws dogs and likes little naked children." No, this is like
shit. Is that true?
No. But it's all these things that we do on the show for comic effect. But because I'm such a hateable person on the show, thanks especially to Frank, it's very difficult for me to make friends in real life, and no one really wants to hang out with me. And I'm very, very alone and sad. And that's why I drink.
Oh, God. Me? Oh, I very rarely bring up my personal life. I don't think anybody's interested in anything. No, I think, you know what's tough is that I am, for the most part, pretty honest. I leave certain things out, but for the most part, I'm honest. And I think a lot of friends will go, "I can't believe you said," and I have to say, "Don't listen to the show." Sorry, Jack, but I'm actually telling people not to listen to the show. Because it's tough if you've got people in your life. I mean, I'll usually change the names to protect the innocent, but I'll have friends saying, "I know you were talking about, everyone knows I live in Simi Valley and you told that story and all my people are coming up to me." I say, "Don't listen to the show," because it is tough. If I'm going to be honest and tell stories, well, some people are going to get hurt.
So when you go out with friends, those who actually have friends you go out with, don't they say things like, "Now, don't put this on your radio show"?
Yeah, absolutely they do. And I say, "Well, no, I won't." And then I do, but I'll completely change names.
I always say I won't do it until I kick them out the door, and then I do. Because then what do I care?
Right.
They're gone.
I think the thing with me is that I was thrust into fatherhood 5 years late.
Thrusting caused the fatherhood.
Thrusting caused it. No, I found out I had a daughter when she was 5 years old, and the guy I am on the radio is the partier, you know, the dope smoker, and now I'm a single dad, and so I get that.
You're the single dad dope smoker, is that the deal?
Well, you know, I'm the coach of my daughter's soccer team, and so then the parents come up to me and like, "I can't believe you're standing today at the drinking show." I'm like, "Oh my God, you know, I'm trying to be a good citizen and you know, upstanding person, and these people listen to me. Oh crap."
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect what I do on the air, but my daughter at that age, she's 9 years old now. I've had her for 4 years by myself.
Yeah.
You go, daddy.
And now she's the point where, you know, I'm driving her down to her bus stop and we're listening to Adam Carolla and he's talking about masturbation. She's like, "What's that, daddy?"
Whoa.
I'm like, okay.
I don't know what show you're listening to.
Some sort of hippo
to.
Chair.
I've never spoken about masturbation, not on the radio, not anywhere.
It must have been Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. So it's kind of tough now because she's getting to that point where her friends are going to start realizing what I do and listening to the show. And I don't know how to approach that yet, but we'll cross that bridge and we burn it.
Why haven't you been raided and busted? I mean, you think if the cops really want to make a bust, just go to Frank's house. Well, there's an easy ticket.
The cops didn't get any respect when they busted Tommy Chong.
Or Willie Nelson.
Yeah, or Willie Nelson. Come on. I'm too easy.
That's right. Adam, have you ever had to pay for stuff you said on the air when you get home with your friends, whoever?
Yeah. Actually, secondhand, when they hear secondhand information, everyone thinks,
"That's the worst."
Well, you hope the person that you're talking about is not listening, or you hope the wife or the loved one or whoever it may be, the child, is not listening. They don't need to hear because there are a-holes out there that will take the information, make it even worse. If it was a 6, they'll put a couple zeros behind it, make it a 600, and then spit it, much like a mother bird regurgitates a crushed-up worm into the mouth of a young chick. But it's poison. It's not pulverized nourishment. It's poison. And these are the people, if you're listening to me now, I would like you to kill yourself. I really would. I can't tell you the goddamn number of times that my wife heard something secondhand through some C she worked with who said, "Did you hear Adam last night on Love Line with the prostitutes and the hookers and blah, blah, blah?" Much worse version. I'll give you a concrete example. My sister is married to a guy who was born in Germany. They live out here. I have 3 nephews. They're great kids. And one time, I think we were talking about slavery and restitution and things like that. You have a fan of slavery over there? A lot of, you know, a tobacco plantation. Oh, show hands. Who owns a plantation and grows tobacco? Here. Okay, at least for those of you who are just listening, at least half the guys have raised their hand. I said, look, my parents weren't in this country when this was going on. My wife's parents weren't in this country when slavery was going on. I don't feel like I'm responsible for it or owe anybody for it. And then I use my children, or I should say my nephews, as an example. They're half German. Their dad was born in Germany. Should they be responsible for the Holocaust? They're closer to the Holocaust, and one could argue more related to the Holocaust than I am to slavery. But of course it's insane to say that they had anything to do with the Holocaust, and it's more insane to say I had anything to do with slavery, whatever. Anyway, someone gets back to my sister and says they compared, Adam compared your nephews to Nazis. Of course, they took what was an example, which in a way could have even been a compliment, twisted it around and shoved it in my sister's butt. She was pissed, never believed the real story, and that's what we got.
All right, we'll continue. It's the Think Tank from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip. Fosse, Heidi and Frank, Adam Carolla, Conway and Whitman, Tom Likas on Free FM. Here we are. It's the Think Tank from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip on Free FM. I'm Tom Likas. We're here with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. We are here with Adam Carolla. We are here with Conway and Whitman. And we are here with all of you at the Key Club. All of you. Say hello.
Yay! All of you.
You can come down here and party with us, drink with us, puke with us here in the back alley. It'll be very exciting coming up later. Now, we were talking a little earlier, and Tim wanted me to continue this conversation a little bit because he had something to say about it. We were talking about whether we have ever paid a price for the stuff we say on the air when we get home or when we see friends or when we're out of the town. And you were going to say something.
Well, when we were kids, we used to spend every summer with my dad's parents. And my dad's mother, my grandmother, was the nicest woman on the planet. She would bake. She would make sure that we were tucked in at night. She would, you know, if we wanted toast in the middle of the night, she'd go down and make it for us. She was just the greatest woman on the planet. And then we'd spend a week with my mom's mother. And conversely, she would have the upstairs bedroom, and about 2 a.m. would walk down the stairs totally naked, farting on each step, going to the refrigerator, reaching behind it to take the bathtub gin and take a couple of pops of gin before she went upstairs and farted all the way to the top of the stairs. So I told that story on the air one day, and my mom said, hey, you know, I heard that story. I heard you'd say that. Those are family stories. I go, I'm in the family. I think I'm still in. And then one night she said, listen, all your uncles are going to be listening. You're going to have relatives listening. Please don't talk about hookers. Don't swear. Don't tell any racial stuff. Please just keep it clean for the hour, right, for the 8 to 9 o'clock. So I did it. She calls me up the next day, and she goes, yeah, the show, it just didn't seem like you. So other than my mom, and God rest her soul, she is no longer with us. She found it convenient to pass away, by the way, on my birthday, which is nice. Isn't that sweet?
One last kick in the groin before she took the ultimate dirt nap. Right, she'd never forgive her for that one.
And she went early on my birthday, too, at 4 a.m., so it wasn't like I got to noon and celebrated, and then this happened.
Right.
You know.
So you had a funeral?
It took the whole day.
I got to say this. That is nothing short of an attack. That was an attack, and there's no other way to see that.
That's the way I saw it.
Good. Very positive.
That's the way a lot of people in the family saw it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, let's talk about the callers to these shows as opposed... I always try to make this distinction between the callers to talk shows and the audience. This is two different worlds because, you know, if you look at the... They do this research on our radio station, and they find out what the listeners are like. And our listeners generally have higher income than the average, higher education than the average. They spend more money. They take more trips. They read the Wall Street Journal more often. All this great stuff. And then you hear the callers to the station. And the callers can't spell Wall Street Journal.
How about the folks that show up in the middle of the day to the live?
That's what I'm talking
about. There we go.
Now, they are above or below the callers?
A lot of beefy tees out there. A lot of beefy tees. Thank God nothing but husky dudes showed up. That's all I got to say. This is why I got into radio, because I wanted to press the flesh with more husky dudes. That was my whole thing. When I was a carpenter, I was like, I'm not shaking hands with enough fat guys. I got to get into radio.
And that was just the NAB convention. But it's true. Like, when I do my show and I talk to some of the biggest blithering morons on the planet, people are like, how do you do a show with an audience like that? I'm like, that's not the audience. I mean, only the losers have 45 minutes to hang on and talk to me.
And clearly, the losers are going to be more entertaining, because the more ridiculous they are, the more, you know, there's more comedy in that.
That's right.
They hold the nation spellbound.
That's the idea. They have to hold the entire nation spellbound. That's right. Where they don't get it. And so these people call in, they tell these outrageous stories, and they are not reflective of the people who listen to the station. They are there to entertain the people who listen to the station. There's 1% of the people who call in, and 99% who just listen to the other people call in. So it's a very frustrating thing to try to explain this to people.
I remember early on in our show, there was a guy who always called in. He's Larry from Riverside. Larry from Riverside. And he would call all the time. And we would talk, and you picture in your mind's eye, Larry from Riverside. You all picture what some Larry from Riverside would look like, right? A big kind of white guy with a beard and...
I'm looking at between 55 and 75 of them right now.
Exactly. So Larry from Riverside calls right in all the time. We go out to one of our, you know, events, and finally, this guy's walking towards me, and he goes, "Hey, Heidi! It's me, Larry from Riverside." And the first thing I said was, "You're black." And he goes, "Well, yeah, black." Like I was telling him something new. But because we picture what you all, when you call in, we picture what you guys look like, too. Just like you always go, "Oh, I always want to know what you look like, so I check out the website."
Heidi had a 1950s moment. "You're black."
"You're colored." You're all colored.
Larry's here, but he's in the back of the...
Are you allowed to vote yet? Oh, hold on, he's smiling. I can see him. Word to your mother, Larry. When I was doing Loveline, we got a call from some guy who broke into a mausoleum at a graveyard and stole the head of a corpse to put it in his snake's aquarium.
Was that Dr. Drew?
No. I think he encouraged him, but yes, talked to him quite a few times.
And as I always say, attention advertisers, you too can reach this prime demographic.
That's right.
It's amazing. Do any of you guys have callers that you remember, like a particular phone call that freaked you out, scared you, was the funniest thing you ever heard? Something outrageous?
I actually, believe it or not, of all people, I have a stalker. I had a stalker.
A stalker?
It was Farmer John.
And finally I said, "Sam Rubin, would you quit calling me?" No, actually, I think her name was Cheryl. Yeah. This is the lady who was she was really out there. To want me, you got to be insane anyway. But she showed up at an event. She brought this scroll. And I'm undoing the scroll. It was like 40 feet long. She had hand-painted, like Michelangelo, this intricate thing with my name over and over. It took like 2 years of effort. And she would send me packets of letters this thick, you know, just handwritten letters. She was absolutely insane.
Wait. Was she hot?
No, not at all. She was your typical...
Is anyone named Cheryl hot?
No, I don't think so.
Well, may I remind you, Cheryl Teagues and Cheryl Ladd.
Cheryl, yes. Crow.
All right.
We're talking about Cheryl. People under 60.
Well, maybe so. Either way, he would have banged her, but her FICO score was too low. And he has policies.
The scroll is very impressive, dear, but let's see that FICO score. Oh, boy. And you did this all for me? Oh, wow.
So she calls the show, and I pretty much wasn't interested in her because I thought she was a nut. And then, I mean, it's just, you know, kind of serious later on. She, like, practically committed suicide or something. She was upset with me. She thought that I'd be impressed by all the effort and all the love that she, you know, was sending me. And I wasn't the least because she was a nut.
Did you play Misty for her?
There you go. Look, Clint Eastwood. Yeah.
It's amazing how many people in state hospitals will use their one call a day to call talk radio, though.
And a fair amount of guys that are in the joint listen to the radio as well.
Oh, I get a lot of jail
shows. Yeah. And that's intricate because normally time is of the essence. I mean, when you're on the outside, you got to hurry up and make that postcard out to Lycus because the jacuzzi's cooling off and the game's starting. But when you're in the joint and you're just locked in a cinder box, you have all the time in the world for all the crazy art and all the ambulance that go with it. Yes.
Tom, do you modify your Lycus 101 for jail? Like, don't trade two packs of cigarettes and a Twinkie for a piece of ass?
The piece of ass, you don't have to pay anything for. Prison.
Is there somebody that has been too stupid to talk to you?
No, that nobody is too stupid to talk to me. We had the one guy one time who was angry at me because I said I was going to masticate on the air. And I was going to do it with a banana. And he was very upset about that. So we started playing this music from Debbie Does Dallas, and I proceeded to masticate on the air, and I talked about how I'd masticated in front of people all my life. And this guy was just beside himself. He could write to the FCC about it and stuff. And you guys know what masticate means? It means to chew, okay?
I thought it was a big extinct elephant.
Most of these guys are looking at you and picturing you with a banana in your ass.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Tom, I'm amazed by the people who will call your show after you've spent, you know, 30 minutes going on a rant, making your point, your view very clear, and they call to argue with you, thinking they're going to change your mind.
That doesn't bother me as much as the people who call in and then don't know they're on the air.
Oh, that's my absolute favorite thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best ever.
That's the worst.
The music starts over and over again.
Hello, Jennifer. You're on the Tom Likas show. Hello. Am I on the air?
Oh, did you want to talk to Tom?
What do you think that means? You're on the Tom Likas show. Hello. Are there fill-ins on this show? I'm on 52 weeks a year. Who do you think would say that? And what do you think it means? Can I speak to Tom?
Tom, have you ever had your mind changed by a caller? Has anybody ever changed your mind?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Not often, but it has happened. Years ago, somebody changed my mind about guns, for example. I was in favor of gun control in a big way at one time. And somebody pointed out to me that I was in favor of legalization of drugs, which are contraband right now, and people get all the drugs they want. What about guns? If you make guns illegal, people are going to get guns anyway. They're just going to knock you over the head so they can get the increased price of a gun. That's what they're going to do. They're going to take your wallet and buy guns. They're absolutely right.
Well, it always struck me with the gun nuts, especially the super right-winger NRA types, where if you were found with a pot plant in your house, they wanted your house confiscated and they want you brought to jail and liquidate all your assets. But whenever the topic of guns came up, well, that's everyone's right. And until you harm somebody and so on and so forth, it seemed to me to be two separate arguments. I mean, if you're for freedom and you think that people in this country should have choice and it, as long as they act responsibly, should be able to be afforded the rights that adults have, then on one side of your mouth, you're saying you want the pot plant pulled out of their house and the jackbooted thugs to come up and confiscate everything. And then on the other side, you want to have your gun, and until you rob a liquor store with it, well, then there's no problemo. I never understood that. I always thought that was hypocritical. I think if you're for people arming themselves and having guns, and that's the kind of society you want to live in, you should also be cool with people having a pot plant, too, because it's their pursuit of happiness.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And to put a finer point on it, I never understood, you know, when the North Hollywood bank robbers got pulled over, the guys who put 1,500 rounds in the community, in North Hollywood, my hometown, by the way, just up the street on Laurel Canyon where I grew up, these guys got pulled over six months earlier. They found police scanners, bulletproof vests, banana clips, AK-47s, all in the trunk of the car, and they had to let them go because they didn't catch them robbing a bank. See, that's the whole thing. That's the way the law works. Well, it looked like they were on their way to robbing a bank, and if we caught them on the way after they robbed the bank, we do something to them, but we can't do anything to them because they were not robbing a bank. On the other hand, if you get caught with a shoebox full of weed, it's intent to distribute, even if you weren't selling the weed. They can come into your house, get you with a pillowcase full of weed, and it's intent to distribute. You don't have to be caught selling it. I don't understand that.
Yeah,
and if you had
dangerous.
A couple beers and the cops see you with your keys in your hand, though you're not in the car and you're not driving, you can be arrested for DUI.
That's
because
right.
Because you had the intent to get behind the wheel. What if you just like holding your keys? What if you're going to put your keys behind the rear tire so you don't drive?
If you had your keys on you, they can arrest you for DUI, and you might have been walking past your car to the corner to hail a cab. They don't care. They can arrest you for DUI. They can do that.
I just wonder why you can bust people for stuff they were going to do when it comes to stuff like drugs, but not in the violent crime department. If you called in to the cops and you said, I have a stalker, they'd say, we can't do a thing until they attempt to kill you. Then we can intervene.
Yeah, then call us back, they always say.
Call us back after you're dead. Right. Yeah, have your next of kin pick up the phone. They'll get a busy line on 911. But when it comes to drugs or
your call
or
is important
like that,
to us.
Well, that's right.
And, yeah, if I have a shoebox full of weed, that's running low.
I'm not selling weed. I'm looking for more.
And, you know, the Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, I think they do a great job. But now they've come up with a new slogan, new campaign. Driving buzzed is the same as driving drunk, which is a huge mistake, especially, you know, Ted Kennedy talks about it all the time.
It is time to stand against this legislation.
Seriously, who hasn't, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, driven through the drive-thru with a little buzz on? Now, I mean, it's either intoxicated or sober, right? Now there's a new in-between area called buzz. Well, it's a legal area.
Corolla had a great plan. Take everyone out to what, Dodger Stadium and test them?
Well, I feel like on your license, you have that little sticker that could say donor on it. I would like one that said heavyweight. because my mom could have a thimble of champagne, and she's going to need to be walked to the bedroom. She should not be operating anything, whereas I could do a 12-pack and be just fine. I'm saying 0.08 for me is not the same as it is for my mom. Put up some cones, and let's get a test going. You do a few shots, do the cones. Eventually, you get pulled over. The guy sees the heavyweight designation. It's a big laugh. You even do that one where you reach in the console. Looks like you could go for a cold one. He says, I'm on duty, but I'll keep it for afterward. I feel like I could drive better at 0.08 than my mom could at 0.08 quite easily, or 0.04. I'm just saying, I want my heavyweight designation. I'm used to doing things drunk and stoned. Well, I feel like I perform better drunk and stoned.
Also, when you're drunk, when you're driving and you're buzzed, you're driving like there is a dead body in the trunk. I mean,
right.
Very, very cautious.
Right. When you're driving stone, you're driving like there's a dead body in the trunk. When you're driving drunk, you're driving like you're piloting the space shuttle, and there's no cop car in the world that can catch you. That's the problem with driving drunk versus driving stone.
This hour of the show brought to you by Miles L. Berman. Always have his number in your billfold.
Have any of you ever hooked up with a listener?
Ooh. Well, there's a second part to that Frosty stalker story that we haven't heard yet.
Cheryl Stillwell is what we call her.
Well, you know, I'm guessing that maybe with the exception of Adam, who's more of a television background, I'm guessing that most people in talk radio maybe started in music radio. Am I wrong in that? You guys? I mean, most of the 18, 19, 20-year-old music jocks, here you go. When you're the 19 or 20-year-old night disc jockey playing the hits and your groupies show up at the station, that's different. I don't think any of us would do that today.
Why not?
Well, you have more to lose. You don't know if you're being set up. Tom Likas raped me.
Hey, that's a great soundbite.
You know what to do, Steve.
Oh, my God. That'll be in a parody song.
Can we isolate that, please?
A new parody song is born.
Not everything.
Put a dance beat under that.
Not everything is about you, Frosty. Let's focus on the question.
Tom Likas raped me. We now have the second burst of vaginosis. I'll work on that. The answer is no, I haven't, but I had the opportunity when I was a young 19, 20-year-old DJ. I see my friends who
you
did
never
that.
Did?
Never did, but I see...
Ever?
Not even Larry from Riverside?
Oh, have my chance and missed it. But it seems to me that most of the guys I knew back then who did it always regretted it. They either turned into a plain Misty for me stalker, or they couldn't get rid of the chick, or, you know, they got accused of doing something later on. You know, you can't shake them loose because they are, in fact, infatuated with your fame. And you went there, so now you pay the price by you're stuck with her. No, I didn't.
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, you did too? Yeah. Oh, you go first.
No, I think it was all the same person. No, I'm kidding.
It was you. How did you get this job?
You know I don't share. I'm Jack's girl. That's how that works. Yeah, Jack Silver's girl. No, I think what happens with me is I'll meet listeners and then, you know, I'll click with a listener and they sort of become a circle, not my inner circle necessarily of friends, but an acquaintance and we'll, you know, hook up and become friends. And then, you know, things happen. So
but
they know you
not because you're just a chick they met. They know you because you're the woman on the radio.
I don't want to correct you, Heidi, but it's more of a triangle than it is a circle.
See, that's why you are the American genius.
No, actually, in Denver, we had a promotion where it was win a date with Frank because I was single and I was 24 years old. And I think it was like a Valentine's Day promotion. And I turned that girl inside out.
Did you really?
She won a prize, and I gave her 100%. She won a date with Frank.
Wow. Is that the one who came calling 5 years later and said you had a daughter?
Different listener. Different listener.
Different listener. You'll be hearing from her in a year or so.
Oh, exactly. I was young and stupid. I mean, I probably have a lot of kids out there. I've only had one person call me back.
Oh, okay.
It's scary. I mean, you said you were young. You did the music thing.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't as smart as you are now about the condoms and everything. You probably have a couple
kids out
there.
Are you 100% sure you don't?
No, you're never 100% sure. You are. That's the difference between being a woman and being a man. More than anything, there's no ticking time bomb out there. Nobody's going to come knocking at the door. Oprah's not going to be there with the prize patrol, you know, bringing your little
Now I only do listeners in the A. That way they can never get them pregnant. I'm going to take you home. I only do you in the A.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's the Think Tank coming to you from the Key Club. On the Sunset Strip.
Who's that coming?
Tom Likas. Along with Frosty, Honey, and Frank, Adam Carolla, and Conway and Whitman here on Free FM. Free FM. It's the Think Tank coming to you from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip.
Bobby!
You can come down here, hang out, and cruise and booze with the rest of these people here. We are here, of course, with Conway and Whitman, Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. And we continue here. I wanted to ask you guys all the same question. What would you all be doing if you, at this point in your life if you weren't doing this?
I'd be listening to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Oh, you would not. You'd be listening to Dr. Laura.
Tim. Baboo.
I'd be at the racetrack.
You'd be at the racetrack.
Yeah, be sitting at the racetrack with all the other degenerates, you know, losing and enjoying my life.
But whose money would you be gambling with if you did not have the gig,
the question. Well, you can only, you know, sort of use my name and try to figure it out, huh? I'd be living off. I said to my dad, I said...
Dorf on rehab.
I said, at one point, my relationship, about 4 or 5 years ago, we were iffy, and I said, I'm thinking about selling everything and getting an apartment across the street from Santa Anita. And he says to me, he goes, don't tell your stepmother, but make it a two-bedroom. Wouldn't that be nice, sitting in an apartment with your dad across from Santa Anita?
But you were in an apartment when you were explaining you were going to sell everything, right?
Well, I was in an apartment across from Hollywood Park when I was talking about it.
It's like putting a pedophile next to a preschool, by the way, you living across from Hollywood Park. I would probably be swinging a hammer. I think I'd probably still be a carpenter.
You think you would have enjoyed that if you just kept doing
it?
No.
No? No, no. I wouldn't have enjoyed it, but I probably would still be doing it. It was my trade, and I probably would have just kept doing it. I wouldn't have had any choice.
Was you that was telling the story about when you were a carpenter, you set up a guy's whole closet, took an entire day to set up a closet?
Yeah. I used to install closets for a place called Always Better Closets out in Burbank. If you're listening, kiss my ass. I used to work with three born-again gangbangers, you know, guys with teardropped hats, but yes. Bibles asking for traveling mercy when we took off in a cube van and breaking into tongues every time we ate goddamn lunch. But one time I was asked to go out solo and install a closet. We'd manufacture it in the facility and then go out and install a custom closet. I was living on, I believe, Otsego Street, and this was Hartsook Street that the address was supposed to be delivered to. And when my boss handed me the invoice, I said, oh, no problem, I live on that street. Well, I used to live on Hartsook, but I'd moved to Otsego and somehow got it confused on the way over. Went to the exact same address one street over. Opened the door, and I've always had this theory that if you have tool bags on and a tool chest, you could walk right into the White House or Fort Knox. They'd just get out of your way. A Mexican maid answered the door because it was the middle of the day, and I guess the couple was working. And I said, listen, Delia, out of the way, I got to install this closet. She was holding a newborn, and she moved out of the way. She figured her, you know, the couple had contracted me, and she didn't know about it. I walked into the bedroom. I opened the closet door, the master bedroom, and I said, ah, Christ, we tell people to clean out their closets every single time. They never listen. So I started taking everything out of the closet and piling it onto the bed. I was angry. I piled it. Then I gutted the closet, pulled all the shelf and pole, pulled the nails out, went back to the van, installed a new custom closet, and then presented the invoice to Delia, the Mexican maid. Now, the thing that was funny is normally we just drop off the invoice and go back to the shop. But in this case, my boss said, you must get paid this particular time. So I said, here's the invoice. Where's the check? She didn't speak a lick of English. And we argued back and forth for a while. And eventually she picked up a piece of mail and showed me that the address was correct. But the street was one street over.
Oh, my God.
I got a crazed look in my face. She headed for the phone. I don't know who she called. She had the newborn with her. I ran back to the van, got the Makita cordless out, put it in reverse, and backed out every single screw, dragged out everything, left everything where it was, including the existing closet, the dumpster, and headed over to the new house. I have no idea how Delia described that to what must have been the surprised owners when they came home from work that day. If it got lost in translation, I don't know how it worked. But, yes, I installed a closet in the wrong house.
And that's what you'd be doing if you were doing that.
That's right.
What would you guys be doing?
Well, if I wasn't with these two, I'd be doing TV.
I say features. What do you mean? Television.
Look at that face.
He'd be doing public access TV is what he means.
No, I'd probably be living in Bloomington, Indiana, a bartender somewhere, living off my wife, who is a nurse practitioner at my urging, because a nurse practitioner can prescribe drugs. Mm-hmm. So that's probably where I would be today.
And it's a steady job.
Steady job. I'd be living off her, Tom. You'd be proud of me.
There you go. Very nice. Heidi, what about you?
Well, I got the eight-inch tongue, so maybe porn would be the B
porn.
Plan.
Yeah.
No, probably something with animals. Probably animal porn. Working at a zoo. Let me have another beer, and I'll flash you. Probably working at a zoo somewhere. Maybe doing public relations at a zoo. Something with
you
animals.
You can do both sides. Be on display for a while, then
right.
Go work.
I could be in the horse exhibit, right. Maybe. Yeah.
Hey, Heidi, when things were tough, did you ever think about dropping the drawers?
No. I never did.
No?
Not
even in a bar but hit the pole?
No, I never. Well, the boobs are kind of new, so, yeah, that was never an option for me real early on when I was totally broke.
Well, you could have been dancing at Chippendales.
Thank God I never had to go there.
At one point in my life I would have said teaching, but that's a lifetime ago. I think really, if radio had not been invented, what would I be doing? I probably would be what? Security, get this sick bastard out of here!
You'd be in Thailand.
Tired of you. I'd probably be working music somewhere. I used to be in a band years ago. I'd still have hair down to my back and be jamming keyboards somewhere in some seedy little bar.
Jamming.
I'd be broke and starving like all the other musicians in L.A.
I think I'd be installing closets.
Didn't you actually install a closet once at the wrong house?
Actually, what? Speaking of closets...
Was that at Sam Rubin's house? What did you install?
Oh, boy. Sam never did come out of it, did he?
No. Sam is still in it there. Delia's looking for him. No, I was when I was a kid, I used to sleepwalk as a kid. Speaking of closets, and I was probably 15, and I was sleepwalking, and I sleptwalked into my father's closet and urinated on my dad's shoes. Stood in the closet asleep, sleepwalking. My mother wakes me up. He's never supposed to awaken a sleepwalker. I'm standing there peeing in the closet. She says, what are you doing? I said, I don't know.
And I didn't know. And I'm standing there urinating on my father's shoes. It's
really?
3 like o'clock like in dog. The morning. 3 o'clock in the morning. My mom wakes me up. I said, oh, Christ, I guess I should go back to bed. I laid there in the bed and thought, what the F did I just, you know. She got up in the morning. She called the doctor. She, you know, brought me to a psychiatrist. Yeah. So I'd probably be urinating in someone's closet somewhere.
And yeah, you know what's nice to see? It's nice to see that a young Whitman, as a young child, had all these difficulties, maybe emotional difficulties. But look at you. You've turned into a chronic masturbator who lives alone, hopped up on lithium, and beats himself senseless to a 50-inch plasma porn every night. You see? See, and that's just a message to all the people that are young out there that are having a rough go of it. One day you'll be living alone and feverishly masturbating.
Hey, it's going to work out.
Tommy, what would you be doing?
I don't know. I think I'd be a writer, meaning I would be making very little money. Mm-hmm. But that's what I always intended to do before I fell into radio.
Will you ever do that?
No.
You'll never write a book?
No, I like money.
Well, I know, but I mean, when money's not... I mean, you have a few money now, so...
Now I have money. I like getting money for what I do.
Do you have a hobby?
Oh, I have lots of hobbies.
Oh, yeah, your wine hobby.
The wine hobby, my hockey hobby, travel hobby.
Tim and I do like to listen to the wine show because it's the different Tom Likas. You know, mm-hmm. It's the romantic. And you should uncork a bottle of Merlot, dear. Lock eyes across a candlelit dinner. And Thursday afternoon, it's dump that bitch.
Likas 101.
That's right.
And we'll get together, have some filet mignon, dear. Talk about how much we care for each other.
Show me your rack, you whore!
The two Toms.
Exactly. We'll take a break. We'll come back. That's the Big Tank from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip in West Hollywood. Tom Likas on Free FM. It's the Big Tank from the Key Club. On the Sunset Strip.
Oh, my God.
Tommy!
And the crowd gets bigger and bigger and bigger as we go on here. And here we are in the house. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Adam Carolla, Conway and Whitman, John and Jeff, Sam Phillips, Leo Quinones. Everybody is here. Everybody is here.
Yay.
Anybody you can name.
I love it. It's what I don't even know what time it is. Because it feels like when you're here at the Key Club, it feels like you're in Vegas. Because it's pitch black.
Yes.
You know, very little lighting. I couldn't. It feels like midnight. I don't even know what time it is.
And there's hookers walking down the street.
Right.
It's a perfect venue to see Heidi.
Yeah. The lights are very low.
Perfect. Now, did any of you guys want to ask me a question? Because I've been asking you all questions through this whole thing.
I got one for you, Tommy.
Yeah. Yes.
When you get off at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
All right. 8 o'clock. Whatever.
Off the air, you mean?
Yeah, you're off the air. Oh. And you're driving around. Do you ever hear Brian doing you and? Does it irritate you?
Does it irritate me? I'm glad you asked me this question, Tim.
Oh, boy.
No, it doesn't.
That has to. Come on.
It doesn't irritate. No. If anything irritates you, I'm going to be honest now. I'm going to tell the truth. If anything bothers me, it's that there's no new material. It's always the same thing.
I'd say that's up to you, Tom. Yeah.
That's why it's dead on.
He's a mirror.
Oh, boy.
He's just a mirror. He's not a totem pole. Well, I got a question for you, Tom.
Yes, sir.
If we're done.
Oh, no,
I don't
want
to step on you.
No, I just, what I love to do about Tom is I love to do the laugh when he's obviously not listening to the caller.
Yes.
And there'll be that kind of long gap in there, and the caller will say, you know what I mean, Tom. And I'm driving going, and then Tom. He's not listening to that guy.
How about the I don't condone this behavior laugh?
Hey, Tom, I listened to your show, and my girlfriend's 9 months pregnant, so I kicked her to the curb like you told me.
Then I smashed her in the head with a cinder block. Anyway, when I called 911, I told the dude she hit herself with a cinder block. Here's a question I have. Anyway, I'm thinking about killing more prostitutes tomorrow. I got the duct tape. And then...
Oh, wow.
Tom, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
I worked at the same asshole known as Westwood One that you currently reside.
Yes.
And I hated that dump, too, probably as much as you did. I was there for 10-plus... Well, actually, I was there for about 7 years, and then we finally moved over to our home base. Why are you out of Westwood One, which is a dump? Why can't you move back to the home base, which is a nice facility, and do your show?
Well, what you don't know, Adam, is as soon as you were out the door, they built me a new studio.
Oh.
7 years of complaining and nothing.
I know. Well, see, every time I was about to sign a new contract, the people at Westwood One would say, you know, we have the blueprints ready for the new studio. We're getting it ready.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have lots of shows produced out of there. Oh, it's just gonna be a big production house. We're gonna have a lot of shows. So I'd sign the contract, and then there would be no new studio. And this happened every 3 years. I'd be signing a new contract, and they would never do anything about it.
I used to go one time. Embarrassing story of your when we were talking about Westwood One or Westwood Two or Westwood None, as I always called it. The place was always Calcutta hot inside the thing, right? The air conditioning was on the fritz for 8-9 years.
Yes.
One evening, it was particularly balmy in there, and I said, look, somebody's got to lower this goddamn thermostat. I'm wilting. And somebody suggested to me that it had the plastic sneeze guard over it, you know, so the retards don't adjust the thing. And it's locked, and nobody had the key. And I said, oh, I have the key. And I jumped up on the console, and I kicked the whole thing off the wall. And I knocked the thing down, and I fixed it. And that was almost midnight on a Thursday night. I realized when I got home that I was doing Stern via an ISDN line. I don't want to bore you guys, but from my house. And I couldn't figure out the equipment. So I had to call Westwood One and speak to an engineer about 4 hours later. And I said, hey, buddy, I'm desperate. I need a favor here. I got to get the Zephyr hooked up. And he said, perhaps you should have thought of that before you kicked the thermostat off the goddamn wall. Yeah. But it was a dump, and I'm glad to know that you have a nice new studio in there.
Brand new. But here's the deal. You know, Westwood One... Not to bore everybody, but Westwood One is the syndication company. It's the network that does Loveline, and it did our show for all these years, and that's why I work there. And, of course, the name Westwood One implies in the history of the company, at one time this company was actually based in Westwood.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along the way, this company gravitated towards New York City. Mm-hmm. So the management of the company is in New York City. The company is now managed by CBS. And so what would happen, literally, every October, okay, I'm in that studio where you worked for so many years, and on the TV, I got the sound down, and on Channel 9, half of the Inland Empire is burning down, there's fires everywhere, it's 187 degrees in Culver City, and the air conditioning is broken. So you call New York City, and you go, we got to get the air conditioning fixed, and some yutz gets on the phone. What are you talking about? It's October. What do you need air conditioning for?
Actually, I think he called it Rocktober because it was an old FM jock. But either way, that place was a pit, and I'm so glad I got away from it and over here with you good people at KLSX.
Wait, there's a guy with the tank top wanted to know how much of percentage of management went to New York initially for Westwood One.
I think all they did was just fired everybody in California and just hired new people in New York is what they did. I don't think anybody moved to New York, did they? I don't think so. It's the same old group. Anyone else? A question?
Yeah, I got a question for you, Tom. I mean, I'm really worried about you. I am. And I've noticed you have a voice problem that has gone on for some time. Are you okay? And what's going on with that? Are you under?
Yes, I have allergies. And I've been suffering with allergies for a while.
Are you in pain? Because it sounds like you have a terribly sore throat or something.
No sore throat, no pain, nothing, just congestion.
Will you have the allergies for as long as you're in Southern California? Will that eventually go away? Are you like this forever?
They get worse with age. As you get older, they get worse. That's what happens. But I've been jiggering around with medication, and now finally it's been improving the last couple of weeks. But yeah, it was tough for a while. I went to three different doctors.
The girl in the Claritin commercial seems to be having a fabulous time.
She certainly is, with rainbows
and running through the meadow.
Yes.
I don't know. Try that. Maybe.
Yes.
Hey, Tommy, when you were a child, did somebody steal your wallet? I noticed you keep it in your front pocket.
I grew up in New York. Everybody keeps a wallet in their front pocket in New York.
What are you looking at the front?
You get on the D train. You don't put your wallet in the back pocket. Look at Curtis Sliwa. Are you kidding me? He'll tell you. No, it's just. It's a habit from growing up in New York. You put your wallet in your front pocket because of pickpockets.
Now, when you hear Brian Whitman doing
Hold on,
you...
where do you keep that roll of quarters? That's my question. Now, I can make change for it right now. I just got to push.
When you hear Whitman doing you,
yes.
Does it ever entertain you? I mean, do you ever sit back and you laugh at it, or does it always boil your blood?
No, it never boils my blood, but you know what's funny about it is when I meet other people who think I appear on the Adam Carolla show all the time.
Oh, boy.
This is uncomfortable.
I was sitting with a client the other night. Literally, I was at the Geisha House the other night with a client. And the client says, I love when you're on with Adam Carolla. That's my favorite. And then he looked, he didn't believe me. I said, I've been on Adam's show once.
Oh, no. Almost every Monday. And Tom, but you should know that you give out your web address constantly when you're on my show, if it'll
hopefully
help.
Hopefully I give out the right address.
My email address is my name. Tom@blowmeuptom.com.
There you go.
Thank you. 1-800-5800-TOM. 1-800-5800-866.
So when you told the guy that it wasn't you on the show, he believed you. I mean,
at first, I don't think he did believe me or didn't understand what I was telling him. Mm. Like, I wasn't talking about yesterday. I was talking about the day before. Yeah, like, he didn't. I said, no, it's not me. But I heard the promo with your voice.
I love at the end of your Tom. When at the end of the week, it usually happens on a Thursday or Friday. At the end of your show, the last segment you do is about 5 minutes, and you're into complete effort. And all you do is make noise sometimes.
Give me an example.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hey, Tommy, you going to be out of Camacho's?
Wow.
I was going to come out there and see you on Cinco de Mayo.
Woo-wee.
You saw any racks out there last time?
Yeah.
So, Tommy, how is Westwood One?
Oh, boy. Man.
Really has become a one-syllable word.
Can you give us a little I love that?
I love that. Thank you, dear.
Now, Brian.
Can you blow us up, Tommy?
Here you go, Tim.
We'll take a break here. Don't forget
it. Thank you for coming out. It's the Think Tank. Live on Free FM.
Yeah. On Free FM from the Key Club in West Hollywood on the Sunset Strip. Look at this crowd. Look at this crowd. Sitting right in front of me, we have Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. We have Conway and Whitman. We have John and Jeff. Everybody is here. Everybody is here. Now, John and Jeff were spelled a little bit. They came back, and were you guys watching the show?
John was actually off looking for Asian women.
John, didn't you go to a massage parlor?
Actually, I just got a massage.
Yeah,
I was off for 2 hours, so I went down, I'm not going to say where, but it was very good.
Very reasonable.
You're glistening and glowing. It must have been good.
You still have the ring around your head from the headrest.
Exactly.
And John, let's talk a little bit about, because you guys kind of sat off to the side for a while Adam came in, and now you guys are back in here. Do you guys have any reaction to what we've been doing here?
I don't think John heard it. He was getting a rub down.
I was 45 minutes. I wasn't listening. So.
What did the massage cost?
I think it was, I'm not going to say what I...
Was it the me love you
$40 for the half hour.
Wow.
Really?
How much was the tip?
That's a private matter.
Okay. The extra service.
He was talking about the gratuity.
Yeah, it sounded good. Up on the balcony sounded good. I went out in the car, sounded good, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Jeff got a massage in the car, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
By himself.
Tom, speaking of massages, we talked about it on our show a little bit. If you have a person come to your house, let's say you have a live-in girlfriend, somebody you actually care about, so high FICO score, all that stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And would you allow a male masseuse to rub her down for an hour in your home?
Yeah. In fact, I had that happen.
You did?
Yes.
So you'd be upstairs, your way, she's got an hour, anything can happen?
Absolutely.
No problem whatsoever?
No.
Would you be rubbed down by a dude?
I have been.
Oh, boy.
Are we going to go there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Everybody, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Here you go, there.
Wait a minute. See, I don't understand. It's an interesting question because I don't understand how male masseuses make money, because mostly guys want a rub down from a woman, and most masseurs,
I believe.
Right, it's a masseur. You have a guy who does it? A guy comes over?
I wasn't looking for a happy ending. I was just looking to get a deep tissue massage.
Some strong hands.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when we're talking about a massage, are we talking about an actual massage, or are we talking about...
No, I'm talking about a legitimate deep
gratification
tissue
of some kind.
No, therapy massage, coming to the house.
A little shiatsu.
If you want a great, legit massage, you go to a Thai massage place.
That's a Thai massage.
He's really into the Thailand.
But you know what, Don?
He's really into the Thailand.
No, seriously,
this guy. He bleeds coconut milk, for Christ's sake. He's obsessed.
He's on the Thai tip.
You said the first hour of this show you're not obsessed. You are obsessed.
No, I'm
the word Thai comes out of your mouth every 5 minutes.
No, I mean,
I'm obsessed with this.
If you want a legitimate massage, you go to a Thai place. That's where you don't go.
You're kind of like racist against whites or something.
Yeah. No.
What about a Swedish massage?
I like to, if you want a legit massage, you go to a Thai place.
No, but I look at somebody, you know, I want big, strong, no, whether it's a guy or girl, I want big, strong hands. And most Asian women, sorry, I'm not saying bad about you, you got teeny tiny little hands, you're not going to be able to get in and get deep.
The nooks and crannies.
And hard.
Oh, they get deep.
I want it deep and I want it hard when I'm getting a massage.
You want it deep and hard?
You look at these little teeny tiny little fingers. I don't see how
they walk on you. That's why, right? Don't they walk on you?
Use their whole body weight.
They weigh 95 pounds, so it's not going to hurt.
Did she walk on your back while we were doing the show here? You had an Asian woman walking on your back?
Yeah.
Now, Tom, when you got the massage by a man, did you have to think back an erection? Were you worried about it?
No.
Were you like, okay, baseball? Baseball.
Hockey,
Merlot.
How about them Bears? Those aren't pillows.
No. I mean, the guy's completely professional. He was dressed like he was working at the gym, which he was, and never even thought about it.
Do you check his FICO score before he hits you?
Yes, I did. Absolutely. I mean, this whole issue of getting a massage and also, here's the other thing. And now, sometimes people say the most innocent things, and you don't know anymore what they mean by them anymore. Like talking about a massage. You can't talk about a massage without people snickering anymore.
Right,
like,
the word has been tainted.
Yes, permanently.
That's what I get massaged.
Frank.
Every time you say you got a massage, the first thing people say is, was there a happy ending? It's always the same damn thing now. Nobody ever can take that word seriously.
Now you're disappointed if you don't get one. It's like, even though it's supposed to be legit and you get the $40 for a half hour, if you don't get a happy ending, you feel like you got gypped.
Yeah, it's like, what's the deal?
I didn't even think to ask for a happy ending, you know? I was like,
well, how do you ask? You just roll over?
I think you just lean or
I lean. Think you just whistle and point.
Yeah, no, the Babu, the masseuse scratches you in a certain area and then says, would you like extra service?
Is that how that works?
Then you whip out the wallet and then break them off with a 20.
Wow, Jeff, you know a lot about this.
But back in the day. I'm happily married now.
I don't know anything.
The worst is when your wife massages you and she doesn't give you a happy ending. She's like, all right, buddy, that's $100. I'm out of here.
She gives you about 10 minutes, and she's like, my hands are cramping.
You got two hands. Do it yourself. That's exactly right.
How did you know it took two hands, Tommy?
Well, you're a Conway. Everybody knows that.
Now, have any of you ever paid for sex? Who wants to admit it?
Jack, please, our program director. Hold on just a second.
Did that come from this woman in the blue shirt? Oh, and the tattoo guy.
Flavor Flav!
I have a feeling the guy with the face paint on has to pay for a lot of things.
Wow.
Oh, Babu. I have told the story of going to the chicken ranch in Pahrump, Nevada on the air. Tim has heard this story. Everybody gets quiet like no one has done that. It's very strange. They give you a, I was 23, 24, they give you a menu. I mean, yes.
Yes.
It sounds like you're at Denny's.
I'll take the Grand Slam.
I'll take the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Deer.
And by the looks of you, it looks like you were at the Foster Farm Chicken Ranch.
So they give you a menu, and you literally order off the menu like you're ordering a meal. But it's very expensive. I mean, it's like...
Are there appetizers and entrees?
Yeah, it's all set up like you would take courses. I mean, and, you know, it's...
So the chicken rings have chicken fingers and...
No chicken fingers, but it's very strange. And it was like, I mean, not $40. I mean, not that you,
Did you get the earth, wind, and rain?
I spent like $1,200.
Wow.
Wow.
What'd you get?
Oh no!
Did you get the killer for that?
Hepatitis.
You didn't go for the $39 Vegas special. You're walking down the street. They hand you a flyer, $39 special.
You know, you order off the menu. It's like $1,200. Frank, you asked. It was sex. It was just, you had sex
for an hour.
No. No.
It was sex for 2 minutes, then crying for 58.
Right. It was
and scratching for another 45.
Now, look, I'll admit this. You know, a lot of guys won't admit this, but I did. I went in there and I paid for it.
Did you feel bad afterwards?
Nah, I didn't feel bad. It was very honest, actually. It was really very honest.
I'm a little shocked by that because on the air you really don't discuss having frivolous sex with women because you want a relationship. So this is breaking news.
Breaking
actually.
News.
Well, he's talking about it before. But you know what you got to do is go into one of these chicken ranches as Rick Dees.
Well, hello. I would just love. How about $1 million?
No, I would do it again, but not there because it was too pricey. I mean,
too pricey.
Yeah, 12. It's crazy. I mean, you know, it's tourists. Everybody's a tourist. I mean, everybody's got
How long did it last for $1,200?
Oh no, I mean, could
you stay the weekend?
No, yeah. I was. It was really the whole thing was like they drive you there, they pick you up.
Oh, I'd be afraid someone would kill me.
You went to Thailand, John.
Yeah, but I'm not going in some guy's car.
No, there's no murder in Thailand. Thailand is the best. There's no murder in Thailand. Yes. You just go there, it's perfectly safe.
Yes, it was Peru.
You get a massage. Bangkok. There's no better place to get a massage than from a Thai.
But I'm not going in a car, some guy driving me to a
you
secret location.
You drive yourself everywhere in Thailand? You don't ever get in a cab?
Actually, I had a driver for about $40 a day.
And you completely trusted him? To it, not kill
he
you.
He was Thai.
Referred
well,
from...
Right. Yeah, he bled coconut juice. Yeah.
Right.
You know, Brian didn't tell you the whole story of when he went to the chicken ranch. He went with a good friend of his. And what you do is when you get to the chicken ranch and you decide on which woman you're going to take, they take a black light and they hold it over your Johnson to check for lice and bugs.
Really?
So he was driving back to Vegas and he said to his friend, he goes, did they check you with the black light? He says, yeah. He says, what's that stuff they sprayed on you? And he goes... They didn't spray me.
Oh, boy. Here you go.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy. Oh,
now, hey, Tommy, have you ever paid for sex?
No.
No.
Would
you ever?
I just have a policy. No. No. Because there's so much free sex around. Why would I pay?
Have you ever regretted having sex with anybody?
Oh, yes.
Like, if you could go back in time, you'd say, I would have taken her off the list and her off the list.
Because
I think women find themselves doing that, but I don't... Guys are like, well, hell, I did her. I got it. I don't really care. I'm not going to go back, but I don't regret it.
No, some of it was so bad, I would have taken it off.
Bad in what way?
In what way? Somebody sat there like a cinder block and didn't move at all. Just kind of sat there. Okay, go ahead.
Now, was she extremely hot?
Filing her nails.
Was she very, very attractive? And she thought that's all she thought she had to do was just lay there because she's so
I think that's
beautiful.
All she'd ever done.
Oh, really?
Yes. Or I had one woman one time. Sounds really hot on the surface. Looked really hot. She was a Catholic school teacher. Great on paper.
Pa-pow.
And so here I am. I'm in a suite in Seattle where I'm doing my show, and... there she is. She's just got these huge knockers, and she's 27 years old, and she teaches third grade, and she gets totally naked in no time, and there she is, lying on the bed, spread eagle, and I am coming in for a landing.
And her balls are bigger than yours.
No.
Always check the plumbing.
Right as I'm about to land on the tarmac, she says, By the way, you know, no one's ever given me an orgasm this way.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, why try?
You don't want to be Christopher Columbus at that point.
No, no. At that point, she thought I'd feel badly or try harder. No, I just plunged right in and got it done. Yeah.
But Tom goes the extra mile. He set up the Stations of the Cross in the bedroom.
Yes. Oh. Exactly. Yes. This is the one, by the way, who wore a Tom Likas t-shirt that was given away at an event and was running down the hallway of the hotel saying, I just effed Tom Likas!
Is that the girl that That's you true. Said, is that the girl that you said, here's a string of pearls, and she thought it was the rosary?
No, that was a different girl, Tim.
I get your Catholic schoolgirls mixed up.
Hail Mary full of
grace. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe my good luck getting a Catholic school teacher, and that's how it ended up.
Now, Brian, for $1,200, was she new to the Chicken Ranch, or was she an older model, like having sex with a baseball mitt?
Well, it wasn't... I don't know that she was a cagey veteran of prostitution, but she was. You know what happens? Maybe you've seen on these documentaries, in the beginning when you get there, they all come out and they line up. And there's, you know, a dozen women. And I, you know, you pick who you want. She, Frank, probably was not over 30. Maybe she was 28. I think at a certain age, I think you kind of, you know, a veer out of the prostitution game.
Yeah, the mandatory retirement age is 32.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Right, you have to kind of... Yeah.
But it's also, I mean, how did the other chicks feel when you rejected them? There's like 8 girls there that you said no to.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that they took it personally, Tim.
I mean, how does that drive
home? It's all business. It's all business.
I think it's just a business transaction.
If you're a prostitute, your self-esteem is already at zero. How much worse can it get?
I don't think I'm coming in and ruining your day by not picking.
I mean, do you think the girls are standing there going, "Oh, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. Please don't. Oh, damn it.
Well, I thought it was weird that none of them made eye contact with me.
But in Brian's case, they didn't say to themselves they had megaphones. Please don't take me. Please. No. Oh, damn it.
It was very strange.
$1,200. Oh.
Now, don't they have to introduce themselves one at a time to you?
Right. A few of them resigned, actually, when I came through the door.
But hi, Brian. My name's Dusty.
I'll take her. Always check the plumbing. They do identify themselves. They do identify themselves, and you know, you get on that first name basis, and that's how it. And you pay. It's cash business.
Did you run into Bill Clinton there?
Let me say to you, hey Dusty, how you doing? Pumpkin, good to see you. No, there was no one of noteworthy there. Other than me, there's a few other guys actually, and it's weird because when there's a couple of different guys, everybody walks in and they come out and they line up. You know, everybody starts picking, and
draw straws, or
right?
You call dibs,
it
or
can
what?
Get a little dicey there. You
any,
know,
any small talk while you're waiting?
No small talk. No, there's very little chatter.
Wondering how that worked.
Can you hear other rooms when you're in your room with your hooker? Can you hear another room going on?
You know what, Frank? That's a good question.
Also, do they have a daycare center?
I don't recall hearing any sounds from other rooms. I recall not hearing any.
Were there any sounds from your room?
None from my room either.
Now, when you were with her, did you break off any Al Rantel when you were in the mood?
No, I don't do impressions.
I don't think Al Rantel would be at the Chicken Ranch, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, no. No, you don't. But I did. I was through the door, and hello there. Yes. No, it was very, very, it was a very surreal experience. I would recommend actually, just a guy should do it just to have that experience.
And then she ran down the hall saying, I just had sex with Tom Likas.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
I just have Tom Likas. Oh, boy. And I said, here you go, there. It was a very unique experience. I would recommend everyone do it one time at least. Sure.
Yes.
Now, can a girl go there?
Oh, you know what? Actually,
I don't know. I haven't been there. Ask him.
Actually, Brian. Sorry, I get you two mixed up now. I can't even tell. The line is blurred.
That's a fair question. She did say that sometimes couples come in. We did have that conversation. I did ask that question.
Because if it's a job, it shouldn't matter.
That's $2,400.
Right.
That's the 2-for-1.
But where are you in life where you're paying a woman to have sex with your wife? I mean, isn't that free? Isn't there a lot of women that like to do that?
Women?
Have you seen some of the wives out there? Why don't you hit pavilions over here on Santa Monica about 10 a.m. any given weekday? See what's out there in the floral stretch pants.
Now, have you ever done that, Tommy? You had two chicks at the same time?
Yes.
Is that a three?
Yes.
Wow. What was the total FICO score?
Probably didn't add 1500? Up to 800.
But you've had three chicks at once?
Yes.
Four?
Yes. Four is the most.
All right, well, 10?
No.
Okay, four.
So at any one point, you had four women in bed. And,
yes.
Well, give us the scene.
So it was a pentagon.
Well, it was an odd number. So usually there were like at least three going at each other, and then the other two.
And
or,
you were holding the camera?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Is there video footage of you having sex somewhere?
Nope.
Never.
Proud to say, no.
How long ago did you have sex with four different women, or four women at the same time?
That would go back about 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a stud.
Was it everything you thought it would be?
Some of it was, some of it wasn't.
It would seem to me that that would be actually more than really any one person could appreciate. I mean, it's almost too much at that point.
No, because sometimes you're doing and sometimes you're getting. That's how it works.
You were getting it?
I was getting it and giving it.
And this was during the AM days.
No, I wasn't getting it that
well,
way.
You got to clarify, Tom. I
was picturing being, a banana again.
I was being...
I was giving it and I was getting it. It was a train.
I was being serviced and servicing.
Choo-choo, dear.
Watch out for the caboose.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's the Think Tank. From the Key Club on the Sunset Strip in West Hollywood on Free FM. It's the Think Tank.
Yes, Tommy!
On Free FM. Coming to you from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip here in West Hollywood. And we are here, of course. We have John and Jeff. We have Conway and Whitman. We have Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. We've added to the mix. From weekends here at Free FM. I don't know if you're on all the Free FMs, you guys. Are you guys on all Free FMs? Leo Quinones?
The smart one. Jack Silver picked me. JD from San Diego? Sorry.
Ooh.
Actually, I am on with JD in San Diego.
Oh.
Really?
And Jason and Sulaco in San Francisco, the single life.
Well, we're not on in San Francisco today. We're only on in Phoenix, San Diego, and L.A.
Oh.
Trying to keep this straight.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Very
Thank
good.
Thank you, Tim Conway.
Now, I was talking to Leo backstage here because we've all been here all day. People have just been cycling in and out as we go. But Leo tells me, and I did not know this, but I remember the broadcast. I had a broadcast at Gladstone's in Malibu back. This goes back about 5 years. He thought it was six, but it's actually about 5 years ago.
No, this was the private mansion.
Oh, the private mansion. But that was the same year.
A.K.A. Michael Sponberg, your old marketing director.
Spring of 2001.
Yes.
Yes. And I was doing a broadcast from a mansion in Malibu.
Yeah.
And, of course, we had, at that time, all kinds of distractions. We had several hot chicks in a hot tub. We were pouring chocolate syrup all over them.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Live on the air. You know, just part of our regular programming here. And we had other distractions like that, booze, other chicks taking their clothes off, whatever. What I did not know is that Leo, who was not on the air or performing any official functions of the broadcast, he was simply attending to show his support for the radio station. Leo got busy with, who did you get busy with this broadcast, Leo?
How many?
Well, no, after drinking a lot of beer, it was a great setting, it was overlooking the ocean, and the cheesiest line that I can think of at a Tom Likas broadcast is, you go up to a girl after you've signed a rack, and you say, I'm a big fan of Tom Likas's penmanship. And, oh! It's awesome. It works every time. Every broadcast, I'll throw that one out there. So, and then you throw out the second one. You want to explore this great house? A private residence. We didn't know who owned it or anything. And so we went upstairs, and as Gary Zabransky was doing some kind of a remote with the chocolate in the hot tub,
right?
I just thought it was a time to do something crazy. But here's the scary part about that whole after sex thing. Well, it's a good time. This girl's a stalker like Frosty had. She shows up at Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on Sunset Boulevard on a St. Patrick's Day, first or second year. Remember that?
Oh, Dublin's, yeah. I think Dublin's, it was.
Yeah. Oh,
and
no.
She showed up with that look. You know, that look. And so we had sex in the bathroom.
With your yeah.
That sounds like a great
St. Patrick's.
True, it's true. So you can bang at these broadcasters. It's not all about talk radio.
It sounds like a great broadcast. Did I tell you when Brian and I opened up a sit and sleep in Costa Mesa?
I remember the broadcast.
Well, we were down there, mattresses were half off. A couple people around, sniffing around, buying pillows. And a guy bought a down pillow comforter. You just remember that?
Yeah, and I said, hey, let's explore this sit and sleep. Gary Zabransky was there.
We always get the best remotes.
Rolling around in chocolate.
Tim, is that remote where you said, I talked to you later, I said, how'd it go with that sit and sleep? You said, oh, there were hundreds of people showing up, but they're all dressed like mattresses.
That's the best line ever. So, Leo, how did I not know about this?
Well, you know, you never want to, you know, throw it out there. You know, there's a continuum. You know, it was like 5-6 years ago. You guys were all bearing your souls, and I'm like, yeah, I banged a listener. So what? It happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's not the one in the bathroom.
Yeah, I had one listener show up to one of our Halloween parties with like a slit neck and a wedding dress and a slit wrist. She goes, well, what do you think of my costume? I'm like, we're not banging anymore. You're done.
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
Sam, you haven't had an experience like that, have you?
Gosh, I wish.
Not since Whitman paid $1,200 for it.
And that was not enough, I have to tell you. I wanted more, but, you know.
Sam Phillips has been with how many guys?
Oh, God, like 500 or so.
Oh, give or take 100?
Yeah, maybe. Round off to the next highest number. We'll do 6.
Oh, my God.
And her cooter is out of business for a while. It's 500 guy checkup.
You're getting an extreme cooter makeover.
I had a little cooter issue.
Lube it or use it.
It's still little.
What is it? What's
Can you believe it is still little?
Really?
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Freak of nature.
What was wrong with it?
Oh, it's boring. Endometriosis, cysts in the ovaries.
Endometriosis?
Yes. Sweetie, it is shriveling up and falling out. Oh. Use it while I can.
You're hot. when do we do the broadcast for the reopening?
Well, I figure I would do the grand reopening on the Conway and Whitman show.
You know. Cut the ribbon. Yeah, have a ceremony. Do a live broadcast.
Cut the bandages off.
That ain't no ribbon, dude.
That would be a perfect sit and sleep live broadcast. Yes, throw it right down on the mattress, the pillow top.
Oh, I did them too, the sit and sleeps. Oh yeah, I did a couple of those promotions, rolling around on a mattress.
Oh boy,
really?
Yeah,
you're killing me, Larry.
Thank you.
Wow. Unbelievable. It's amazing. You know, we think back. We've all been working together for a long time. I mean, you guys are the new guys because you've only been here 6 years. But I've been here now. It's my 10th year. And Leo's been around.
Nine,
right? And Tim, you were here before I was here.
Yeah, 10 years in December, yeah.
Brian's another new guy.
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
it been?
2 years? Yeah.
I'm 8 years.
8 years. John and Jeff, how long?
Nine years.
Nine, yeah.
Wow.
It's a long time. And
nobody has anything else to say.
I do.
I think back all the time. Well, I think back all the time because, you know, we're doing this every day and we're going 100 miles an hour all the time. But when you think back on some of these experiences, the broadcasts, the people who've shown up for them, I mean, it's pretty outrageous when you think of some of the things we've done and some of the people we've done them with.
Yeah, I remember a remote where we were doing a St. Patrick's Day, and I was working with Doug Steckler. You guys all remember Steckler, right?
Yeah.
And he started in around 10 a.m. The remote was at 8 p.m.
Yes.
And an elderly woman was sitting across from him and said, Dougie, you look a little drunk. And he took a full beer and threw it in her face. She was about 75 years old.
Oh.
And then she went after him, and they were duking it out on the floor. So they're both ejected, and that's when you drove down from the Hollywood Hills
that's
to take over for
it. Did you call me? Who called me that?
Yeah, we
night?
Called you. We go, hey, Tommy, my partner just kicked the crap out of a senior citizen. Can you make it?
Jesus. And I did.
Yes, he did.
That's the one time we did the show together.
Yes, exactly.
We did your show together.
Right.
And now you guys do it every night.
Hey, by the way, do you think that Whitman could do an hour of your show and fool most of your listeners?
Probably. We had a comedian come on and do that one time for about half an hour, just be me and take calls.
Is that right?
Yes. But the thing is, if they keep the call short, they get away with it. But what happens is if the caller ever asks a question that requires an extended answer of some kind, then the jig is up.
Right. But, you know, you are very generous with these comics because you have some funny comics on, but some that are, you know.
Well, you never know if they get in there what they're going to do. And by the way, some who are great one time, the next time are horrible.
Right. But you do get it up for them every time. I mean, the guy will present the lamest crap on the planet, and you give him one of those big belly laughs. That. So anyway, I was walking down the street, and I went to a pet store, and I looked in the window, and I said, "They a dog, talking dog for $5. And I'm saying to myself, I'm going to go in and buy that dog. So I said to the guy, I said, "Wait, why is that talking dog only $5? He says, "Well, because everything he says is a lie." That's the end of the joke, Tommy. Tommy?
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
Sam, it looks like you're going to throw up over there.
No, are you kidding me? I don't know who does it better. It was a toss-up. I was trying to figure out who was who. Oh,
but don't laugh too hard. Your vagina might fall out.
Thank you, Frank. That is the best advice I've gotten all day. I love you for thinking of my vagina.
I always do.
Thank God it's on someone's brain.
That's the greatest. That's the greatest pickup line ever.
Don't laugh too hard, or your vagina will fall out.
Leo can use that at the next podcast.
Waste not, what not.
How many people want to hear three or four more stories of Leo getting laid at a remote?
No. Okay, this one. No, I'm kidding.
Now, Leo and Sam, you guys do weekend shows. Sam, you just appear all over the map from time to time, but you do weekend shows. Is this the same station on the weekend as it is during the week, or is it different?
Well, it's Infomercial Central. You know, if you've got a...
Not necessarily.
Yes, it is. If
no.
You've got something to sell, you know what, then they do like the block programming. But then we have some shows that are more about what we love, like you love... Sam is single... Guys, girls.
Yes, I am.
The single life.
With a corroded cooter. Yes, I'm single.
You gotta, leave that off the personal app.
Yeah, downplay the whole it's rotting and falling out thing, I'm telling you.
By the way, Sam, when you go out with guys and your whole cooter is bandaged up, is that a turnoff for most fellas?
But what do you think?
do you wait. Is
out
it like,
of order.
Wait a minute. Is it
I have a sign.
Is it like Ralph's? Do you give rain checks?
No, I swear to God. This is what it's like on Saturday night. It's like she's walking out of Save It Private Ryan.
She wrote on her...
Leo's all bent over.
She wrote on her Band-Aid.
Was that part of the shtick?
She wrote on her Band-Aid, go around the back.
No, that is definitely sealed off.
Please use the surface.
You've had 500 guys, no backdoor action.
No backdoor.
Ever?
No.
Go away, there's nothing more to see here, folks.
There's been an attempt on... Hey.
Uncharted waters.
Hey.
Never?
She's saving it for a wedding night.
Thank you. I've got to leave something.
Right now, it's your only option. I mean, the offer's there.
No.
You got,
beggars can't be choosers.
It is not the only option. There's the mouth.
Take a break. The mouth.
Oh, boy.
It's Think Tank 5 from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip. Tom Likas on Free FM.
Tommy! Yeah.
It's the Think Tank. From the Key Club on Sunset Strip in West Hollywood.
ID
Free FM. Thank you for that. And,
enchanting.
Yes. All right, you know, I was thinking back. We've done five of these, and at least two of them, if I can recall, this is my memory, seem to produce casualties.
Oh, yeah.
One near fatal, as I recall.
One near fatal. I don't know. Yeah. It just seemed the people who were the irritants or were the casualties, they're not among us anymore. So rather than ask you about who's going to get fired or aced or not renewed next, what do you think will be different about these radio stations, the ones we're on, a year from now?
Well, you're going to get Larry King Jr. on one of these stations at some point.
Tonight on CNN, the latest from the Middle East with Kelly Clarkson.
Where they book on that show just goes on there and talks about what's happening in the news.
Tonight, the latest on John Mark Carr with our guest Clay Aiken.
You know, when we first started this format, hated it, was Bob Moore, the general manager, because he said, all we do is talk about sex.
Why the Christ does everybody on that goddamn station have to talk about sex? Jesus Christ.
That's our boss.
Where is he? He's
right back here.
He's off to the Velvet Turtle.
I'm going off to the Velvet Margarita, Missy. Make a reservation for four, please. Jesus Christ.
Is he right behind me?
Yeah, he is.
A little bit,
Tommy, you should be on, I mean, you could be on like Letterman or Leno. I mean, have you been asked to do these shows?
Well, what I've heard from the inside is that there's always a female in the bunch in the booking department.
Uh-oh.
Who is opposed to my appearance.
Well, we have...
Jay could put you on.
Girl.
But Jay would do a great intro for you, Jay Leno.
Well, welcome back to your show, ladies and gentlemen. Next guest, of course, we have Colin Farrell. Coming up tomorrow night, Lindsay Lohan. Our next guest, of course, you see him all over the country doing rack signings and talking about getting laid.
Tom Lankes, ladies and gentlemen.
Why don't you go on those shows?
When they invite me, I'll come on.
You'd be great on
there. I'll do it, absolutely.
Tom's going to be a big screen star soon.
Oh, that's a whole other story.
Yes, it is.
Oh, is that true?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's a big...
What's in the works?
Yes, please.
That couple of different...
You bought a big screen?
Project.
Did you go to Ken Crane's?
No. Hi, Def.
There are a couple of film projects in the works.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You, man.
Yes.
Tom's the stud.
I don't talk about this stuff on the air, though, because you know what happens. You talk about it on the air, and then it never happened. Then people say, whatever happened to that movie you were doing?
You're going to be the voice of Charlotte, the new Charlotte Webb film? That's why you're saving it.
Ice Age 3. That's what it's going to be. No.
It's going to play a Rocky Balboa's trainer's father.
Rocky 7, yes.
Actually, it's Satan.
After a Camacho's remote.
That is true, by the way. I'm being asked to consider playing Satan.
I swear to God.
Is that
true?
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Really, what does that say about your image, Tom?
It's typecasting. Absolutely true.
Thank you,
there
Tom.
We are. Wow.
Thank you so much for moderating today. Tom Lankes, everybody.
Think Tank.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for coming. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank return in their regular slot on Monday. Conway and Whitman tonight at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
John and Jeff tonight at 11.
You guys
Seth Phillips this weekend. Yeah. Leo Quinones this weekend.
Yeah. Miller Lite.
Love Miller Lite.
Thanks to Miller Lite. And I'll be on today at 3.
America.
Monday.
Here on 3FM. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys. We love you.
FM from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip in West Hollywood, and we've got a live crowd, and we've got we have quite a panel because it's all the people, all of us who all work together here. We have, of course, I'm Tom Lankes. I am your
Tommy.
I am your host, and with us we have Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Frosty.
We have Conway and Whitman, who follow us every night here in Los Angeles.
Timmy! Conway!
Timmy!
And we have with us Adam Carolla, who does our morning show.
Thank you.
Unclear, always unclear whether to clap for yourself. Always unclear.
I think on radio it's cool, TV it sucks.
All right, yeah, you're right, so I'll clap for myself. All right, hey, and give yourselves a hand. I hate that jackass.
Clap for yourselves.
I don't think they deserved a hand, I think is what happened there. Adam, you're the new person on these stations with us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for a little while together, but you're the new guy. You've been doing this now for 9 months. What's your reflection on that time you've been doing it?
Well, it's like anything, any job, I guess. It's hard at the beginning when you don't know everybody and you don't know where the water cooler is and where the bathroom is and all that kind of stuff. And then with repetition, it gets easier, and then eventually you get bored, and then you kill yourself. So I'm at the point right now, right between bored and killing myself.
I see.
But it is, obviously, it was monumental at the beginning. And now the last, you know, few weeks, few months feels easy. Feel like we're getting into a groove and, you know, trying to improve on a daily basis.
Now, for people who have not heard your morning show, because they may have heard you on Loveline for a million years, but I asked these guys what the concept of their show is. What is your concept?
Hmm.
Well, he had the same answer we do.
Hmm.
We said, huh?
Don't worry,
know.
We don't know either.
Well, I think it's sort of evolving, but ultimately, see if you can be funnier than Kevin and Bean and Mark and Brian, which didn't sound like a tall order when I started, but evidently it's a comedic mountain the size of Mount Everest. Because I worked with Kevin and Bean, and I thought, oh, I'm funnier than these guys, and I still think that way, but it's ever evolving. I think for our show, it's probably more my voice, more my opinion, more probably a little more like your show than a typical morning show. It's tough at the beginning because I felt like at the beginning we were trying to do a morning show. We were trying to do our version of a morning show. Lots of bells and whistles, lots of plate spinning. But it appears that people want it to be more, again, like an afternoon show, more personality-driven, more Adam Carolla opinions. So I guess that's what we'll give them.
Good. Very good. Now,
you don't have to applaud.
Now, I've asked these guys, and I'll ask you the same thing. Is there something you brought up on the air? It could be anything, a topic, an issue, something about yourself, anything. You just, it was a throwaway.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't give it any thought. You just said something, and it wouldn't go away. People keep bringing it up. They keep calling. They keep bothering you about it.
Well, Dave Damashek made a racial remark against the Asian community that didn't seem to go away very quickly. Other than that, I guess there's things you bring up. For me, I guess sometimes you bring up personal stories. We were talking the other day about my buddy Ray put a hose in his butt and sprayed it out of his ass at a guy who worked at Jack in the Box. And those things seem to resurface. People grab on to those enema stories with two hands and don't let go.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Much more than they grab onto the front page of the Washington Post. It's absolutely true. And that's the dirty little secret about what we do, this kind of radio station, is that what people care about is not what's on the front page of the paper. What we care about is ourselves. I don't just mean ourselves. I mean everybody cares about themselves more than they care about some stupid story in the news. That's the bottom line.
You know, getting back to this, when you're at a drive-through blowing water out of your butt, you can't really ask a chick for her FICO score when you date her, right?
Not at the same time. You blow the water out of the ass, then get the FICO score. Obviously, you wouldn't do it while you're in the drive-thru.
If you had a high FICO score, you wouldn't be blowing water out of your ass.
Yeah, if you had my FICO score, you wouldn't be in a drive-thru to hear.
Understand, though, people, this is before your Xbox. We had to make our own fun back then. You guys, some of us are old enough to remember life before the video games and satellite TV. You had to put garden water up your tuchus and blow it out at people that worked at fast food joints. We didn't have your computers and your satellites and your cable TV.
Well, thank God those people in the driver window are making so much money where it doesn't bother them.
Right.
You know?
Now, let's talk a little bit about ourselves, just a little bit here. No, we're going to do that a lot, actually. You have kids, Adam, right?
Yes, twins.
Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that affect your view of the world or the kinds of stuff you do on the air? Because people say that to me about the fact that I don't have kids.
Mm.
You don't have kids. So
you don't know what it's like.
You don't know. So
yeah. Well, first off, I thought if I had a little girl, which I do have, it would affect negatively or impact my masturbation so far. Turns out she hasn't put a dent in it. I thought, well, there's no, because now this porn you look at, you're going to think of as someone's daughters instead of some coked up whore. But as it turns out, little, if anything, I've stepped it up a notch. Maybe I'm overcompensating. Maybe I'll level off when she gets into the 10th grade, but so far I'm at a fever pace. It is true. I'll tell you, for me, to be honest and not sound like a sappy parent, I always said, and I used to argue when I did Loveline with Dr. Drew, when the religious nut jobs talked about abortion and they likened it to throwing a kid in a dumpster and all this kind of stuff, and I used to say, look, it's shades of gray. If you spontaneously abort in your first trimester, that's sad. But if you do it on the third, that's sadder. And if it happens on the kid's second birthday, that's sad. But not as sad as if, well, not the part, not that you're putting a cake up there. I'm saying he's hatched and then dies. And then if the kid dies on prom night, well, even sadder. But I now, after having my twins and they're only 4 months old, think about people who have lost children when they were just 6 months old or 8 months old or not even a year old. Before, when I used to hear those stories, I'd think, well, that's sad, but he barely got to know the kid. But I got to say, if something happened to one of my kids, it would ruin a weekend. At least. And maybe a three-dayer, I don't...
And definitely put a dent in the masturbation, I'm guessing.
Maybe not.
And
initially, yes, yes. I mean, that...
Just for a week or so.
Well, if they want in the morning, let's say, I'd skip an afternoon session and just pick up in the evening, something like that.
Now, I have to ask you, have you taken a drink from the milk tap yet?
No, I haven't done that, and there are guys that are into that. I'm not. They're the guys, and I don't know if it's the same guys who like the urination stuff in the back of the magazine or the same guys that like, I'm not into the fluids. Here's my whole thing. I look at women as a fluid receptacle. I don't like to take fluid from them. You know, a lot
they
of people
mixed up inside there somewhere. You don't want to get.
But a lot of folks do that thing with the butt. You know what I mean?
Really?
It's just an exit. It's not an entrance. I'm that way with fluid. I look at women as sort of petri dishes, as you do, Tom.
Of course.
You're there to collect my fluid. I need none of yours.
Exactly.
No deposit, no return.
You clean up everything else around the house, you can clean that up. Thank you.
By the way, Adam, you have a boy and a girl. Who are you closest to this
time? The boy. I mean, I love them both. What do you mean? I'm a father. I don't make that judgment.
Right.
The boy's morbidly obese. That's how I can tell the difference between them. The boy can't get out of the crib without a cherry picker. And the girl, I actually were talking about it today, did the Heisman Trophy pose with her, holding her yesterday like a football. She's that light. Just held her out and did the Heisman Trophy to my wife's chagrin. Yes. Yeah. No, I didn't spike her because there's no more excessive celebrating in the end zone. Otherwise, I threw her right to the ref and headed out to the liquor store.
You'll have this happen to you in the future, which has happened to me, and you'll have to make a decision. You're actually enjoying yourself. You're peeling one off in the bathroom. And one of your kids walks into the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, I have a theory about this. If we have a moment, I recommend it to all. Tom, if you ever do become a father or anyone out there who has young children, I realize that every guy, every male and female, for that matter, I've ever spoken to, thinks his dad has a huge Johnson and then wonders why they got such a horrible hand dealt to themselves. And I realized the reason every kid thinks their dad has a huge dork is because they saw it once, and they saw it when it was at the bridge of their nose. They were talking into it like a ring announcer at that point. It was just dropped down from the ceiling. Guy hit the bell a few times. The point is I am going to make sure that each one of my children sees me in a what I call a leather state, not erect. That would be grotesque, please. But that sort of leathery state where you're at, where they can't tell you've been working on yourself, but you didn't just get out of the pool. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't shove it in the kid's face. You'll send the kid straight into therapy. Make it look like an accident. Have somebody ring the phone. Come out of the shower drying your hair with the head. Add just a little glycerin to the mix. You know, just something that'll reflect the light. You know, maybe it's baby oil. Whatever you use, I'm not going to tell you what to use. and then come out, give your kid one shot, act embarrassed, pull the towel in, and this will be seared into the boy or the girl's mind. And then it'll pay dividends later on in high school when they start bringing their buddies over. You know what I mean? Hey, Mr. C, yeah! You just get a high five from some 15-year-old you never met before because your son will spread the news. Just a tip for those who have children. Thank you.
Come on, Tom, don't you want to have kids now?
No, absolutely
but
not.
But now I'm looking at Adam Carolla's wiener like a boxing microphone, and I forever will. A little
Let's
odd.
Get ready to rumble!
Now, Tim, did it change the way you do a radio show when you became a father?
It does, because I haven't had sleep in a year. So you walk around like you're buzzed all day long. And the odors that come off of a kid are either hit or miss. It's either freshly bathed, where it smells like a lotion, or it's real creepy grandma's about to die and sitting in an old folks home where everything smells like vitamins that's come out of her bum, you know. So it's a real no. I don't think it's changed at all. It has for my wife. I showed Brian Whitman. What I did is, I'm very proud of my wife and my daughter. So I took pictures of my wife and my daughter in a bathtub, and I showed them around the station, right? And there's one where my wife is holding the child up, and she's fully nude with her legs apart. And she said, you know, I don't mind if you show the kid one, but you not show the one with me, with my legs spread. And I and Brian, you enjoyed that show.
Well,
didn't you?
I mean, I thought it was kind of odd that a guy brings in nude photos of his wife to work. I also thought the photo of them in the tub without any water in the tub.
He always sounds like he's doing me now all the time. He's not doing me.
Yes, I found the photos offensive, Tim. And you had your wife and your daughter in that tub, and we saw her wreck.
No, I think it is strange. I actually have to say, in the time I've known Tim, I think becoming a dad has changed him. I
How
do.
So?
I just think that I think that your perspective, I think everybody's perspective, it would seem if you have a child, I don't know, with Adam, I don't know if that's also true. I would assume it would be that your perspective just shifts a little bit because,
well,
you think about your kids.
No, I don't think I've changed anything. For instance, when my daughter was 3 months old, I took her to Santa Anita, and she saw her dad photoed out for the first time. But it's the only place in America where you can have a cigarette in one hand, your baby in the other hand, a vodka sitting on the table in front of you, and be screaming, "Come on, you mother effer! Come on with this three! Come on, you mother effer!" And nobody looks at you.
And that, by the way, was just on the drive to the track. You should have seen Timmy once he got to the track.
Try that whole act in a Target and see how far that goes.
So, but you think it changes the way he does the show? Do you think it changes the way he approaches the show?
No, Tom, I don't think it changes the way he does the show. I just think it changes his perspective on life. I just think like guys who have kids are always kind of thinking of the world through, oh my gosh, how's this going to impact my kid? Might this be bad for my kid? I think it would be unnatural to not think that way if you had kids. I don't, but I have kids. But you know of.
It's always, and a lot of guys do this, you know, they think, well, now they have a kid, they got a wife, and that's not what they bought into. And a lot of guys will make the big leap and go out the easy way and get into the stick, you know. They'll start dating dudes, and they'll, that's the way out. Not for me, but a lot of guys will make that leap.
I wish,
just to get out of marriage and the kids.
I've often
it's a big
wished,
price.
I've wished I was gay many times, and I say that in all earnestness.
Really?
So, yeah. Why
is that?
Well, it's not a bad life if you really break it down. I mean, first off, we're just moments away from Boys Town here.
Yes.
You notice? Let me say this too. You want to know the difference between the gays and the heterosexuals? Drive down Santa Monica Boulevard. Before you get into Boys Town, it is syringes spread out all over the place, old sofas that have been dumped, and hobos waiting to die. Soon as you get into Boys Town, it looks like a golf course. The putting green is a medium running down the center there. The palm trees, everything is freshly scrubbed. The recycling everywhere. There's no graffiti. I mean, look where it cuts off. Look at Santa Monica. Go down to Santa Monica over down on Western. See what it looks like. You want to know the difference? That's the difference,
yes,
in the lifestyle. You get the dual income. You drive the sports car everywhere.
No kids.
No kids. You get. I knew I had gay friends that had separate bedrooms. A lot of guys don't ever want to admit this, but that'd be a nice deal. If you got married, you had your own place, she had her own room. You meet together in the hall twice a week to get it on, and then it's back to your corners.
BJ's during the football game.
Well,
yes.
That's eventually what the gay community wants. They want it to be as normal as, yeah, I played. But, Tommy, think about this. If you turn gay, you could spend $80 on dinner. 40
That's
for
right.
him and 40 for you.
Exactly.
Enjoy yourself.
That's right. But if I was gay, I would never spend anything on dinner because you just get right to the business there. That's all you do. I mean, gay men, after all,
sex
men,
is dinner.
They just want to get laid. That's it. Bottom line.
What? Belcho score.
Man. Oh, my.
I don't even know what that is. I just hear my gay friends
say
it.
Oh, I think you do. I think you do.
Oh, God. We'll take a break. We'll come back here. Tom Likas, Adam Carolla, Frosty Hottie and Frank, Conway and Whitman. We're at the Key Club on the Sunset Strip in West Hollywood. Come on down and hang out with us on Free FM.
Tommy!
It's the Think Tank from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip in West Hollywood. Tom Likas, Frosty Heidi and Frank, Adam Carolla, Conway and Whitman. Now, you guys, I don't think I've ever heard a show where three people are essentially equals on a radio show.
Oh, we're not equal. You kidding me?
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, we're not equal. It's 50%, 10%, 5%. And the rest is unknown.
Could you guys do the show individually, or if one of you was missing, could you do the show? And would it be as good?
Well, what, September 8th, the day that we
live in infamy.
Frosty and I did the show by ourselves.
She was gone.
How'd that go?
It was the best show we've ever done.
People put up tribute websites. We'll never forget this day.
Very true.
The thing is, we could each do our individual show, but it would be a different show. Whether or not it's better or worse is like subjective, you know, in the ear of the listener. It would be different. You know, the chemistry you have when you stick the three of us together is not what any of us can replicate just doing a show by yourself. Mine would be serious and political, probably. I would probably talk about taxes, real estate, mutual
funds. Who needs a sandwich?
You know.
His show is sponsored by Subway.
I'd end up talking about all the lesbian experiences I've had. Throw in a dog story or two.
Why are you holding back on us? What are you doing?
And I'd probably do a show a lot like yours, Tom. I'm just waiting on you to die.
Really?
Give me the keys to the kingdom, my friend.
Get in line. Get in line.
Give me the keys. I'll drive.
Absolutely.
I'll do it with Whitman. He'll just do the voice, and I'll give him the opinion. They'll never even know you did. What happened to Tom?
Now let's talk a little bit about, though, how your show has evolved over the years. It's not the same as when you three started,
no,
is it?
No, not at all, no.
Oh, wait, well, we celebrate our 6th anniversary.
Yay!
On Free FM.
We've been married 6 long years.
Yeah.
And technically, I mean, that's 6 years as this show. Frank and I worked together, you know, a couple years before that in another show here in town, and 4.5 years together in Denver and a short time in Milwaukee. So he and I have been working together for a long time.
Too long.
Yeah, if you heard tapes of the show that we did, like the sort of test show for this radio station at, what, 2 in the morning on a Sunday, 6 years ago, completely different from what you hear now. It was all me. It was a disaster. I'm surprised they hired us.
No, it's great. I think that, I wouldn't want to do the show without Frosty and Heidi. I mean, they're the best, you know, as far as radio partners to ever do a show with. I give them hell all the time. But really, I'm going to cry. No, I really, they are the best. And I give them so much hell. But I like the fact that we can do that with each other. We are brothers and sisters, and we're husbands and wives. And
you're having sex with your sister?
And we're the best friends. Hey, it's the best kind. I'm from Indiana.
All right.
By sound of applause, who would rather hear A, Frosty's experience in Milwaukee with Frank, or B, Heidi's first lesbian story?
Oh, it's too long to do here. You'll have to listen to the show. I don't want to take up too much time.
That's a good one.
Oh, my God.
I'd like you to weave in the dog, too. I wasn't really listening. I heard lesbians and dogs.
Well, my first lesbian experience was with a girl named Molly.
See how, oh, see how I did that?
It's my dog's name.
I know. I listen to your show.
Oh, thank you. Yes, she rapes a hippo chair that's in my twins' room.
Really?
On a daily basis, yes. There's a chair that is there that somebody got us as a gift that the kids will sit in one day, God willing, except for I don't think it's going to happen because my dog Molly has raped the bejesus out of this hippo chair. Which I think we're going to need to move because the kids are being traumatized and so is the nanny. And it's tough having a serious conversation with somebody when a golden lab is raping the bejesus out of a hippo chair. You know, when you and your wife are arguing over preschools and enrollments and things like that and the dog is in the foreground raping a hippo chair, it just adds a surreal quality to the entire conversation.
Sure does.
Now, are the dogs in the room while you're having sex, or is that no?
Well, I won't let Molly in unless we bring this hippo chair in with her so she can have a partner.
So it's an orgy.
It's essentially, yes. It's a menagerie more than it is an orgy. But, yes, it's a menage-orgy.
But that hippo chair is asking for it. I mean, you know, the chair.
It's clear he or she wanted it, yes.
Brian Whitman, who has three dogs, will not peel one off if the dogs are in the room.
Thank you, Tim, for bringing that up.
You got it.
I appreciate that. That is any sexual experience that happens in my home. They're not that common. They usually involve me and me. I clear the room. It's like police tape, you know, it's like a crime scene. I move everybody out. I can't really be nude with my dogs. I mean, if I'm, you know, turn on.
Why not?
I don't know. There's something weird about it. And I think guys who have dogs, too, to me, it would be like having your kid in the room if you're going to have sex with a dog in the
really?
Room. I move the dogs.
I did it in front of Molly, and she actually offered up the hippo chair. She took her little paw, and she slid it toward me. Would you like to use, or are you cool?
We have a
you
dog.
You want a piece of this?
Want a taste?
We have a dog, and my wife and I were going at it a couple of years ago, where everything is getting hot and heavy, and things are getting all crazy. And then I turn around and go, hey, Christ, where's Jennifer? Where's my wife? But Brian Whitman.
A lot
has
of guys couldn't finish at that point, Tim. And I want to say, for you to be able to focus.
You got it, man. Hey, listen, I really concentrate. But Brian Whitman has a 50-inch television set in his bedroom.
I so thought you were going a different direction.
We're going to save that for the 1 o'clock hour, honey.
No, that's. But he has a 50-inch television in his bedroom. And I want to ask you, when does a vagina get too big to be sexy?
You know it doesn't, Tim?
Is it 14 inches?
No, it
is it
really
25 inches?
And they say you shouldn't sit that close to the television. But I do. I have a large TV that was in where I used to live was like in the living room, but now it's too big for the space where the TV is, so I rolled it into the bedroom. And I think it's the first thing a guy does with a new TV is you say, my gosh, I've got to see porn on this.
Right. And how does it? I'll insist on watching porn on it before I buy it. I bring a disc of Taboo 2 right into the Good Guys or the Fries or wherever I'm going, I'll say throw it on.
And it goes on all 30 TV sets on the wall there?
Yeah, I mean, we can
families
watch.
Families are running.
Yeah, we can watch I'll Fly Away or whatever, high def, whatever crap you have of snow geese doing their thing filmed from an ultralight, but that doesn't do it for the Ace Man. I want to see what I will be watching when I get home.
I can really see the zits on her ass. I can almost pop them.
And by
see,
the
high yeah. definition for porno was a mistake. Seriously, I wanted soft focus. I don't need to see every little vein, every little hair you missed, or every boil you got someplace. I don't want to see it.
That's exactly right.
And I'm with you on that. I mean, it's like when they film Liz Taylor, they put the cheesecloth in front of the camera lens so we don't vomit. How about for the porn? And yes, that area can go from your best friend to your worst nightmare, just in a little adjustment of the contrast. And that's just out of Peter North. We haven't even gotten to the women yet. Exactly. You don't want to watch Peter North in high def. You will dive over the ottoman and do a shoulder roll to get out of the way.
Very Dick Van Dyke moment.
Yes.
I think Ken Cranes is a sponsor.
They're a sponsor, and they've okayed it. If you're going to go in, they've done, in their Encino store, they have the simulated living room. I assume that's why they did it. Bring your disc in there and watch away. Yeah. Put it to a test. You wouldn't buy a car without driving it. Why right. buy a big screen without watching porn on it?
Free access free.
Now, are you guys into porn? Seriously. Are you all into porn?
Yeah.
Anyone object to porn?
I do. On principle, I do, Tom. Yes. Yeah.
Well, no, sometimes. You never know.
No, you know, it's actually very strange. And Tim and I have had this conversation. He's married, so now, and I guess, you know, married guys have to kind of sneak it in. Kind of have to sneak the porn in. Like she goes to Ralph's, and you've got a window there of 30 minutes.
Right.
For me.
And they never look in the crib for it, by the way. Right underneath.
Yeah.
No, it's like pornapalooza. I mean, it's just constantly watching porn. It's I think I'm addicted to porn.
Addicted to porn. Doesn't it lose its effect after a while?
Well,
you also, I mean, Brian is sort of like a Catholic boy. I mean, he worked forever for Rick Dees, who probably never watched porn.
Well, no, and never on the high def. I mean,
he's old school. He's
no,
beta.
I mean, you know what? Come on, you know, let's not do the DP on the plasma.
Well, I have a sad admission, and please be honest. Show of pathetic hands. Who here has pleasured themselves in their mind's eye, not in front of porn, to old porn you used to have? Actually fantasizing about porn.
Oh, my God, everybody.
Not about somebody you went to high school with, not about an old flame. Actually fantasizing about porn from back at your first apartment.
Well, always the old Playboy centerfolds, of course.
Yes.
Who has tapes? Anybody still have videotape?
Let me tell you. I'll tell you what's funny. I'll tell you, when your collection gets big and mine is substantial, and you run into something that's not clearly labeled, that you think, well, I haven't, what is this one? What is this new arrival? Yes, this one, speaking of the tapes, this was a cassette. This one I popped in excited thinking, I don't remember this title. It was entitled Head Cleaner. Still able to achieve. But I really did pop in something called Head Cleaner thinking it was actual pornography. And then that's, you know, when people share at the meetings when they realize, when they give their bottom out story, that was my bottom out with porn story. I actually watched Head Cleaner.
Now, as a woman, I have a question for the guys, because I don't know how you guys think. When you watch porn, do you put yourself in, you pretend you're the guy in it, or you just watch it for what it is? Or do you pretend, when you see the you pretend that's yours?
I see a nipple and I'm off to the races. That's it.
Okay, yeah. You close your, you try not to.
Either way is good.
Do you have to have a girl in it to get off?
Yes. Yes, I do.
My friends always thought this was weird. You brought up somewhere earlier in the program, I think Ralph Garman's name came up.
Yes, it did.
He was a roommate of mine.
Uh-huh.
For some years when we lived in La Crescenta way back in the day. He always thought I was a weirdo because if I ever got hold of a new porn, I would have to scroll through the entire porn, a movie, a DVD, whatever it was. I had to see the whole thing and then go back to the part I liked best instead of just doing it incrementally. And he'd always say, well, why are you watching the whole movie and then going back? And I'd say, I don't want to waste, because when I masturbate, I always approach it as if it's my last session. You know what I mean? And I think that's what makes me such a great broadcaster. I approach the morning show like this could be your last morning show. Every time I masturbate, it is the last one. And if there's some chick I went to high school with that's at the end of the video, I'll kill myself.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's the Think Tank.
Tommy!
Tom Mike is Adam Carolla, Tommy Honey and Frank, Tim Conway, Brian Whitman. Come on down and join us here on the Sunset Strip at the Key Club for the Think Tank on Free FM. It's Free FM, it's the Think Tank.
Tommy!
From the Key Club on the Sunset Strip. And we do this once a year. We have all together, everybody from the radio station. We've got Adam Carolla here with us.
Yes!
Thank you.
We've got Frosty, Heidi, and Frank here with us.
Frosty!
Oh, stop.
We've got Conway and Whitman with us as well.
What's up, Whitman?
Everybody's here. Now, let me ask you guys. I'll start with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Do you guys ever suffer from talking about your personal lives on the air? Suffer consequences? I'll start with an example of my own. Yeah, I say things on the air about myself, things I believe, things I would or would not do. And then if I meet a woman, let's say, she'll go, "Didn't I hear you say one time that you had 3 dates and you're out? Did you say that?" And of course, I did say that. But then I'm having a conversation I wasn't planning on having. Do you guys have things like that happen to you?
I'm sort of the opposite because I have no friends and no social life. It's the opposite. The reason I have no friends and no social life is because of these two a-holes. All the horrible things they say about me. No one wants to be seen with me. Like, as soon as they find out who I am, they're like, "Oh, we heard you were a fag who screws dogs and likes little naked children." No, this is like
shit. Is that true?
No. But it's all these things that we do on the show for comic effect. But because I'm such a hateable person on the show, thanks especially to Frank, it's very difficult for me to make friends in real life, and no one really wants to hang out with me. And I'm very, very alone and sad. And that's why I drink.
Oh, God. Me? Oh, I very rarely bring up my personal life. I don't think anybody's interested in anything. No, I think, you know what's tough is that I am, for the most part, pretty honest. I leave certain things out, but for the most part, I'm honest. And I think a lot of friends will go, "I can't believe you said," and I have to say, "Don't listen to the show." Sorry, Jack, but I'm actually telling people not to listen to the show. Because it's tough if you've got people in your life. I mean, I'll usually change the names to protect the innocent, but I'll have friends saying, "I know you were talking about, everyone knows I live in Simi Valley and you told that story and all my people are coming up to me." I say, "Don't listen to the show," because it is tough. If I'm going to be honest and tell stories, well, some people are going to get hurt.
So when you go out with friends, those who actually have friends you go out with, don't they say things like, "Now, don't put this on your radio show"?
Yeah, absolutely they do. And I say, "Well, no, I won't." And then I do, but I'll completely change names.
I always say I won't do it until I kick them out the door. And then I do. But then what do I care?
Right.
They're gone.
I think the thing with me is that I was thrust into fatherhood 5 years late.
Thrusting caused the fatherhood.
Thrusting caused it. No, I found out I had a daughter when she was 5 years old. And the guy I am on the radio is the partier, you know, the dope smoker, and now I'm a single dad. And so I get
now
that.
You're the single dad dope smoker. Is that the deal?
Well, you know, I'm the coach of my daughter's soccer team. And so and then the parents come up to me and like, "I can't believe you're standing today at the drinking show." I'm like, "Oh, my God." You know, I'm trying to be a good citizen and an upstanding person. And these people listen to me. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect what I do on the air. But my daughter at that age, she's 9 years old now. I've had her for 4 years by myself.
Yeah.
You go, daddy.
And now she's the point where, you know, I'm driving her down to her bus stop and we're listening to Adam Carolla and he's talking about masturbation. She's like, "What's that, daddy?"
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm like, okay.
I don't know what show you're listening to.
Some sort of hippo
to.
Chair.
I've never spoken about masturbation, not on the radio, not anywhere.
It must have been Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. So it's kind of tough now because she's getting to that point where her friends are going to start realizing what I do and listening to the show. And I don't know how to approach that yet, but we'll cross that bridge when we burn it.
Why haven't you been raided and busted? I mean, you think if the cops really want to make a bust, just go to Frank's house. Well, there's an easy ticket.
The cops didn't get any respect when they busted Tommy Chong.
Or Willie Nelson.
Yeah, or Willie Nelson. Come on. I'm too easy.
That's right. Adam, have you ever had to pay for stuff you said on the air when you get home,
well,
with your friends, whoever?
Yeah. Actually, secondhand, when they hear secondhand information, everyone thinks,
that's the worst.
Well, you hope the person that you're talking about is not listening, or you hope the wife or the loved one or whoever it may be, the child, is not listening. They don't need to hear because there are a-holes out there that will take the information, make it even worse. If it was a 6, they'll put a couple zeros behind it, make it a 600, and then spit it, much like a mother bird regurgitates a crushed-up worm into the mouth of a young chick. But it's poison. It's not pulverized nourishment. It's poison. And these are the people, if you're listening to me now, I would like you to kill yourself. I really would. I can't tell you the goddamn number of times that my wife heard something secondhand through some C she worked with who said, "Did you hear Adam last night on Love Line with the prostitutes and the hookers and blah, blah, blah?" Much worse version. I'll give you a concrete example. My sister is married to a guy who was born in Germany. They live out here. I have 3 nephews. They're great kids. And one time, I think we were talking about slavery and restitution and things like that. You have a fan of slavery over there? A lot of, you know, a tobacco plantation. Oh, show hands. Who owns a plantation and grows tobacco? Here. Okay, at least for those of you who are just listening, at least half the guys have raised their hand. I said, look, my parents weren't in this country when this was going on. My wife's parents weren't in this country when slavery was going on. I don't feel like I'm responsible for it or owe anybody for it. And then I use my children, or I should say my nephews, as an example. They're half German. Their dad was born in Germany. Should they be responsible for the Holocaust? They're closer to the Holocaust, and one could argue more related to the Holocaust than I am to slavery. But of course, it's insane to say that they had anything to do with the Holocaust, and it's more insane to say I had anything to do with slavery, whatever. Anyway, someone gets back to my sister and says they compared, Adam compared your nephews to Nazis. Of course, they took what was an example, which in a way could have even been a compliment, twisted it around and shoved it in my sister's butt. She was pissed, never believed the real story, and that's what we got.
All right, we'll continue. It's the Think Tank from the Key Club on the Sunset Strip. Foster, Heidi and Frank, Adam Carolla, Conway and Whitman, Tom Likas on Free FM.